Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. If you believe that, turn it into a prayer. Turn that song into a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. It says 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right side, but none shall harm you. With your eyes shall you watch and behold the reward of the wicked. Go ahead and thank him for his ever present in our midst, his ever present even in the fire. Thank him. Thank him that you are with me. That's the secret of my confidence, that you are with me. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your abiding presence. Moses said, if your presence goeth not with us, do not send us from here. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. Now lift your voice and ask him for an encounter tonight. Ask him for an encounter tonight. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Would you lift your voice and ask him? He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but he is Father. His Father, meaning he's a giver. He loves you enough to attend to your needs. Lift your voice and ask in prayer. Your presence is my one desire. 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 Father, we are gathered tonight and it's unto you. We ask that you will speak to us by your wisdom. Let your word come with power. Let it come with precision. Let it come with clarity. Let it lift us. Let it bring enlightenment. Let it bring understanding. Let it empower us for the next level. In the name of Jesus Christ, we receive the hearing of faith. And we pray that as we receive your word, we receive all the blessings that come with your word. Healing that comes with it, we receive. Deliverance that comes with it, we receive. Transformation that comes with it, we receive. Empowerment that comes with it, we receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. You may be gloriously seated. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. The Lord bless you. It's good to be back home. And the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want us, whilst we're seated, to lift our hands and lift our voices and thank God for Koinonia. Thank God for the impact across the globe from nation to nation. Would you lend your voice and let's together, that includes our family following online, can we be grateful enough to tell him thank you? Thank you. As we prepare to receive, let's be grateful for the transforming power of his word. For all that we have become and are becoming by his word. It's amazing what he's done. Amazing what he's done. To us here, to the body of Christ through us, to nations through us. We give him praise. We are grateful enough, oh God. We are thoughtful enough. We're intentional enough to give you praise. Before the nations, we declare that you are deserving of our praise. You are deserving of all glory. Thank you. Let it please you, O God, to take us further, take us higher, take us greater, as far as our kingdom adventure is concerned. In the name of Jesus, grant us the humility, the meekness of heart to keep rising, to keep learning. We yield ourselves as a global vision. Lord, we decree and declare that we remain worthy vessels for your use. Use us as you please. Bless the nations. Reveal your life, your wisdom, and your power through us to the nations. And we vow as always that you remain glorified and revealed in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remind you again to always be intentional about giving God glory. It's a very childlike secret but produces tremendous power in the spirit. Men can forget to acknowledge God. And once you begin to get into that culture of forgetting the good hand of God upon your life, you bring upon yourself a curse, even in the midst of increase. I do these things openly before us because, number one, it is who we are and it is how we respond to Him. But number two, so that you will learn. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we thank God for His grace. It was a great time in Kenya when Kenya last week, and it was a phenomenal time. Let me thank my dear friend and brother, Reverend Julian Kula, and the government, the body of Christ, and the good citizens of Kenya who were received so graciously, and it was a time that brought great glory to the name of the Lord. And for this we are grateful. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I thought about my life, you know, while just going through my notes for tonight. And sometimes when, you know, I'm all by myself, I just take a very thoughtful reflection of the goodness of God in my life to me as a person, not just as a man of God, not as a leader, as a person, as a child of God. And sometimes I get overwhelmed by the consciousness of His goodness, His kindness, His mercy that He's so lavishly invested in my life. And among the many things I thank God for, I'm telling you, is number one, access to illumination and understanding. It's a real miracle to have light. Number two, the privilege, I call it an honor of inestimable value, to be given access to the spirits, the minds, the loyalty, and the attention of a generation to help deposit these truths into their spirit. Every time I prepare for service, it's as though that's my first time ministering the word. I don't take it lightly. It is an honor of inestimable value to have the rare privilege of access to the spirits of men, to the minds of men, to the destinies of men. And I thought about it, you know, this afternoon, and I said, can you imagine? In a few hours, literally, nations will be seated quietly for hours, listening to one man. What if I am lying to them? What if what I'm saying is a lie, and a president is listening, a king is listening, a CEO is listening? Or what if the information is just guessing with no power and no life? Influence is a very delicate gift from God. And when God gives you access to the spirits and the minds and the destinies of men, you must take it seriously. Praise the name of the Lord. You literally can make victims out of men because they were loyal to God and to you. But you can also make champions out of ordinary people because they were loyal to God and they were loyal to the truths that you have communicated. Let me give you an audacious statement right now. You will never remain at the same level. Yeah. Not when Jesus Christ is the head and the captain of this vision, and not under the influence of the truths that you are hearing. What I'm telling you is beyond education. I've taught you that every time we serve the wisdom and the grace of God, there are two layers to the impact. There is a dimension of truth that comes through the gate of intellect. It comes to feed your mind. It comes to feed your understanding. It gives you a superior orientation about the kingdom. But there is a dimension that is beyond the gate of intellect. This one is deep, calling on to deep. This one is spirit communication. That one bypasses the gate of intellect. So you just know that there was a heavy deposit upon your spirit that you cannot give language to yet, but you cannot deny that something from heaven rested on you. And sometimes it will take days for that which has been received in your spirit to distill into your mind. But that you have received it, that's it. and you begin to grow into dimensions that will surprise you. This is what will happen to you tonight. Amen. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. It is the reason why I'm excited. Listen, it is the message that makes the man of God powerful. You see, what really gives you the credence to receive honor, what gives you the credence to be respected and to be heard, is the power of the message you are communicating. Not just who you are. Who you are is important. Your alignment and your sacrifice is important and commendable. But greater than all this is the message that you are bringing. Because that's what has the power to change. He sends his word. He builds by his word. He equips by his word. May the Lord bless us through his word tonight in Jesus' name. Tonight's message is a bridge. It's a bridge that sustains the power to take you from where you are to the next level of kingdom exploits. Tonight's message is not only a pathway, but it is a bridge. For those of you who know what a bridge is, a bridge connects two points, usually where there is a valley or water, or there is no usual source to connect them so you can pass. And so bridges are built so that they connect one point to the other and they allow for a safe passage through an area that were hitherto impossible. Praise the name of the Lord. Your own assignment tonight is to believe in Jesus. Number two, to lend me your undivided attention. And then allow me walk in partnership with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to do a business of radical transformation in your life tonight. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. At the end of this teaching, you will rush home rejoicing. You will literally see like a shell, the former version of you. You will see it right there and you will wave it goodbye forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The title of my message tonight is Capacity. I want to show you the mystery of stature and dominion. Capacity. How men are able to command greater levels of kingdom exploits by getting into superior levels of alignment in the spirit. Someone shout capacity. No, that's not everybody. Shout capacity. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll consider a few scriptures just to set the pace and then we'll be on our journey tonight. Hebrews 5, I'll begin my reading from verse 12. We'll read 12 and then we'll stop at 14. Hebrews 5, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, it says ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, it says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, an infant, a child. It says, but strong meat belongs not to everyone, but to those who are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their spiritual senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Scripture number 2 is found in Jeremiah chapter 12, and we'll read verse 5. Just one verse. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. We'll read a couple of scriptures. Hallelujah. Can we do amplified? I'd like us to do amplified, and I'd like us to read that scripture in concert. Amplified is quite elaborate. Or do we go back to King James? Is it too long? Can you read it? All right, one, two, go. But the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience, saying, if you have raced with men on foot, That's a question he's asking. That if you are just running on foot and you are already tired, then how can you compete with horses? It says, and if you take to fight in a land, let's read on, where there is peace and you feel secure, then what will you do? All right, let's do NIV. I know some of you didn't get anything at all. You just obeyed peacefully. So let's do NIV so you get understanding. Ready? One, two, go. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? And if you stumble in a safe country, how will you manage in the thickets of the Jordan? So there are always dimensions. And if you fall just when you are beginning, then how will you rise to the higher levels in the spirit? Scripture number 3, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. A very popular scripture. I give you a lot of scriptures like this because it's important to give you a scriptural foundation. It says, if you falter, well, back to KJV, our people were kings. We just get new and get amplified sometimes, but we're really kings. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. One more time. If thou faint in the day, Two more scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's jump to verse 5 and 6 for sake of time. You know the story. The woman, the wife of the sons of the prophet. So Elisha gives her an instruction and then she goes to get vessels. The Bible says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. Verse 6. Read with me. 1, 2, go. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The oil in your life will not stop. It will keep flowing consistently and continuously in Jesus' name. Can I give you one more scripture? Matthew 25, let's read verse 15. Matthew 25 and verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another, to every man according to his, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name. So the first thing for a foundation tonight, as we explore this very important subject of capacity and stature, is that all believers in Christ are ordained to live a life of grace, a life of victory, and maximum kingdom impact. In fact, as I said, capacity and stature, they mean the same thing, but it looked like I would just add that even to the topic, capacity and stature. I think that's very good. So add that. It just rang in my spirit that we said it correctly. Capacity and stature. Praise the name of the Lord. Capacity and stature. So all believers in Christ are ordained to live a life of grace, a life of victory, and maximum kingdom impact. Do you believe that? Say, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I am ordained for a life of grace, a life of victory, and a life of kingdom impact. One more time. Remember, you are speaking for your destiny. Say, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I am ordained to live a life of grace, of victory, and of maximum kingdom impact. Yes, you must believe that. It matters that you believe that. As simple a statement as it is, it can affect your efficiency if you do not believe that. It matters what you believe in the kingdom. I believe, I'm absolutely convinced, based on scripture, that it is my ordination in Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible calls me his workmanship. It says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's it right there. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So this is no guess statement. It is consistent with the Bible that it is part of my ordination in Christ. If you are outside of Christ, then I don't have anything much to tell you on this. But if you are in Christ, no matter how defeated currently, no matter how bad your life is, no matter how things, you know, how confused you are, settle this for a fact that based on the authority of God's word, you and I have been ordained to live a life of grace, of victory, and maximum kingdom impact. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we have been called with a high calling in Christ. A high calling in Christ. Not a low calling. A high calling. It attempts to describe the nobility and the honor that is associated with such a call. Hallelujah. Our calling is a high calling in Christ. A noble calling in Christ. A call to victory. A call to grace. A call to exploits. A call to dominion. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to establish, and this is not new to us in this house, is that in spite of the fact that God has this lofty vision for us, life of triumph, victory, grace, and all of that, as we confessed earlier on, there are many forces that need to be understood and engaged. If you're writing, please write that down. There are many forces. This is the second thing I want you to know. That there are many forces that need to be understood and engaged in order to come into and manifest the reality of our prophetic destinies in Christ. It's a long read, but I'll take it slowly because I want you to write it down. That in spite of all of these great promises that are for us in Christ and based on our ordination, there are many forces that need to be understood. There are many forces that need to be engaged in order to come into and then to manifest the reality of our prophetic destinies in Christ. In other words, just knowing that this is what God has preordained for you is not enough to bring you into the reality or the experience of it. Hallelujah. The Bible says there remained a rest for the people of God. God has already made that rest available in Christ. However, the Bible says there still remains that rest. There remained a rest for the people of God. There remained dimensions for the people of God. There remained heights, levels of grace and dominion and victory for the people of God. In spite of the fact that it's a prophetic reality as far as, you know, God is concerned, but it takes understanding the forces that God has put in place and engaging them appropriately to come into and to manifest the reality of our prophetic destiny in Christ. Forces like salvation. Salvation is a spiritual force that is able to propel a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son, affording you access to the life of God, and then you begin your journey in the kingdom from there. Forces like favor. You'll not be able to maximize destiny except and unless you tap into forces as so. Forces like the anointing. You need empowerment. There are so many of them. I'm just listing a few for you. So I'm saying that in spite of the fact that we are ordained in Christ to live a life of victory, of purpose, of grace, of dominion, there are forces that need to be understood and then to be engaged in order to come into the experience of our prophetic destiny in Christ. Now, one of the greatest of these forces that can determine how far we can be used of God and used by God and the extent of our impact in the kingdom is capacity. Capacity is a force and a great subject for consideration if you desire to be used by God and you desire to do so much for the kingdom. One of the greatest of these forces that can determine how far we go as far as being used of God and the extent of our impact and our exploits in the kingdom is capacity. Capacity is a major determinant as to how far a man can go in his being used by God. How far a man can go as touching the extent of kingdom impact and kingdom exploits. Shout capacity. Shout it like you're following. Say capacity. Hallelujah. I wrote something here and I want you to listen. I said this has through the years been an underestimated factor in preparing believers for dominion and impact. Meaning that even in mentoring believers, sometimes as men and women of God, we make the mistake of downplaying the place and the role of capacity in helping believers to prepare for a life of dominion and victory. We talk about other forces, for an example, the anointing. We talk about forces like favor. We talk about forces like, you know, relationships and all of that. And we fail to stress the role of capacity as far as helping believers to have the level of stature that can host the program of God and can help them to be used by God at greater levels. We're having a conversation a few months. I was having a conversation with a dear friend. And, you know, we're just discussing the program of God and serving the purposes of God. That was the theme of our discussion. And he asked me a question. He said, Apostle, I want to ask you a question. And I was listening to him. He said, why is it that certain people seem not to be able to serve the program of God at certain levels, say a national level, say a regional level, say a transcontinental or a global level. Not they are Christians, but it looks like there is a limit as to how high they can go. He said, is it the election of grace? Some have said God just chose it, and those who serve at a higher level is just, the election of grace. And he said, what is your take on it? I said, well, it is all of that combined in one. There is the place of the election of grace. There is such a thing as the election of grace, whereby privilege and mercy, people are granted, it's in their destiny and their preordination to serve the program of God at certain levels with a greater spread and greater influence. There is such a thing as the predeterminate counsel of God. However, regardless whether it's in your prophetic destiny, uniquely or generically as, the believer's lot in Christ, it will demand a build-up. And I told him, I said, the honest admission is that everybody is ordained by God to serve the program of God at the highest level that he or she can get to. And the highest level is not generically defined. It is maximizing the grace of God available to you. You see that? But I told him, I said, for most people, the reason why they cannot be trusted with the grace and authority to serve the purposes of the kingdom at, say, for an example, a national level, at a transcontinental level, it's not necessarily because God does not desire for them, is that the level of stature it takes to host the grace, the wisdom, the power of God, and then an understanding of the variables that need to be engaged at that level of influence. Many believers are not interested. They are not even aware. And for those who are aware, they are unwilling to pay the price to get to that height. That is the reason why you find maybe a handful of people, as you rise higher in the spirit, you find out that there are less and less people who really have stature, the kind of stature that can earn them the trust of God to host his program at a higher dimension. But you can be clear on this, that God will not limit you from serving his purposes at the highest level, that you can attain unto. But it depends on many factors, and chiefest of them, based on our discussion tonight, is capacity. Who is following so far? Capacity. So when you find out, with all due respect, that say for an example, one man of God is privileged to serve the program of God at a very higher and notable and more impactful level versus another one, in addition to other factors like the election of grace, which accounts for only about maybe 10% of that variation. The election of grace accounts for only 10%, thereabout, not more than, of that variation. So about 80 to 90% of that difference is a capacity issue. Because I have taught you that there are three levels of authority that God can trust a man with in the kingdom. The least level of authority is authority over things. Like money, like all of that, authority over things. When God gives you authority over things, to us, we are happy that you can command resources, you can command things, elemental forces, I speak to the wind. That is the most elementary dimension of spiritual authority. The next level of authority, should you be faithful and consistent, the next dimension of authority is grace to influence men. The grace that God gives you to be an influence over the lives of men. That means you are able to mentor people, you are able to speak the purposes of God to a generation, and God will cause them to listen to you. But the highest level of authority in my study of scripture that a man can have and operate in is the authority to steward God's program upon the earth or within the span of a dispensation. That means God can come up with a program as a subset of his grand prophetic program and say, I want to change Ghana. I want to change West Africa. I want to change East Africa for the next 10 years. And God gives you that ranking and that promotion. You become the face that spearheads that program. It's the highest level of authority. This one is beyond influencing men. Your stature in the spirit has earned you a place where nobody functioning within that dispensation who desires to serve that program of God will do that ignoring what you represent. So you become God's reference with respect to that program. There are men like that on earth. Not many, but there are men. They have grown the ranks through faithfulness. And every time God wants to help you fulfill your own destiny, as far as kingdom exploits is concerned, he will find a way to make sure that in addition to your walk with God, you get in touch with those graces. They have an command in the spirit. This is the reason why we respect men, not just because of their vocal prowess. I'll give you an example of such men, and with all due respect, our father in the Lord, Daddy Gio, you see, these men have gone beyond just preaching well. They've gone beyond just influence over people. There is a grace that God has given them to steward his program. This is the kind of thing that will make God come to a man and say, this is what I want to do. It's impossible for the Spirit of God to move without a territory, within a territory, without God informing you and giving you the blueprint. At that point, you have become the friend of God. This one is not just a man of God. Shall I hide anything from Abraham? What did he tell Abraham? I have a program. The program is that I want the whole earth to be blessed, and you become the face of it. So the Bible says, look unto Abraham your father, even though he's dead. He epitomizes that program of global impact. Look unto Abraham. The three major religions in the world came out from that same man. Hallelujah. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bore thee. I called him alone, I blessed him, and I increased him. Who understands me so far? Praise God. So it has been downplayed truly. We talk a lot about serving the program of God, and many people just stop at recognizing their prophetic destiny. So there are many chants and many singings and many jumpings and confessions, rightfully so in church. Oh, I will shake the world. Have you heard people say that kind of thing? I will shake the world. Holy Spirit, you and I, you know, I will shake the world. I will change the world. And it is so prophetically. But even those saying it, no, it will not happen. Because it's not a matter of just blind confession. This is a stature, ranking, trust. Hallelujah. Sometimes we make very lofty statements in church, and I understand that we mean to be sincere. Oh, I will shake China. Lord, give me China. Give me Africa. Give me Nigeria. Give me Abuja. I hope you know that territories are given to certain people as an inheritance. Read your Bible. When the people qualified by using the talents, they were given a kingdom. That was what was allocated to them. So God can give a man Abuja. Is it not in your Bible? Ask for the nations and I will give you as an inheritance. But this does not just happen because you are a Christian. It happens because you have built, you have taken advantage of the grace of God and you have increased. Else, why does a Christian who is already, look up please. If you do not understand what I'm teaching you tonight, you will not live a very purposeful Christian life. You will live a victorious Christian life, but not a purposeful one. Victorious meaning your needs will be met. Victorious meaning you will know how to use the word of God to get your needs. You know how to speak the word of God to bring personal profit, but you will not profit the kingdom because the scope of your understanding of Christianity will be achieving personal victory. So you build a house by the word. You buy a car by the word. You train your children to school by the word. And that's wonderful. But from a macro, at a macro level, you are not useful to the kingdom because you cannot ease off that burden that is in the heart of God by responding to his desire at a national or a transcontinental level. Who is understanding me now? This is very powerful. So there are many believers, with all due respect, who their scope of Christianity is knowing God, understanding the word, and using it to achieve personal victory. And once they achieve personal victory, a car, some houses, investments, estates, a personally robust spiritual life, they just feel, God, I'm grateful. This is where it is. But no. Victory is one level. Are we together? But when you now begin to talk of dominion, this one is not you again. Dominion and purpose is a language of ambassadors. It's not just a language of believers. At that level, you have conquered the realm of personal needs. Are we together? It's like someone who is pressing to become a professor. You have left the level of studying undergraduate realities. You are still a student, but not at that level. That's how it is spiritually. So by that, God cannot give you nations when you don't know how to use the word of God to meet your needs. You will be too distracted to obey him. So when he starts with you, He teaches you. This is why mentorship must be line upon line. You don't call people and start talking about nations. They don't even understand what you are saying. They are babes. You don't meet a little baby and as he's sucking the mother's breast, you are saying, well, if you are prophesying on the child, that's fine. But looking at the child and say, child, you are going to the nations like you are having a conversation. That's a waste of time. The child wants to eat and sleep and cry and crawl. That's it. But eventually, you wean that child from breast milk, then you now start telling him, listen, it's not just about roaming around and walking around the house. You will start going to school. You see that now. You subscribe him to the 6-3-3-4 system, and for a long time in his life, he will think all he will be doing is education. Then one day he will learn that when you are a graduate, it does not end here. Now there's another dimension. You'll be gainfully employed, then you will raise and support a family, then you will be a leader, then you will be a this and that and that, then you will be an elder. You see, there are different dimensions of growth. That's how it is in the spirit. When you grow spiritually, these transitions eventually happen. The first will be as an infant. God reveals himself to you. He helps you to know him. He begins to show you the forces of victory. You see that now. So that you begin to taste of victory personally. When you have needs and all of that, you are not thinking the nations. Any talk on the nations, you will just smile. But the truth is that it doesn't matter to you. There's house rent. There are all kinds of issues. And the correct way to raise ambassadors is to teach them the way of victory first before you teach them the way of purpose. When you teach them the way of purpose without teaching them the way of victory, they will be too distracted by the bankruptcy of results to focus on the greater program. Is somebody learning? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's define capacity. I came up with some definitions and an approach that I consider quite impressive. I hope you'll be impressed as you learn. Capacity, let's define it. I'm going to give you three definitions of capacity that I was able to put together. Number one, I define capacity as the quantitative limit of a person or a thing. First definition, the quantitative limit of a person or a thing. That means the maximum amount or the maximum volume that a person or thing can hold or contain. I'll take that definition again. The first definition of capacity, the quantitative limit of a person or a thing. It means the maximum amount or volume that that person or that thing is able to hold or to contain. So we're defining capacity. When we're talking capacity, it's a measure of the quantitative limit. How far can you hold? How far can you contain? How far can you retain? You have that down? The quantitative limit of a person. It measures the maximum amount or the volume that that person or thing can hold or can contain. Very quickly, let me give you the second definition. Ready? The second definition that I have down here is the upper limit. I define capacity as the upper limit of an individual's power, competence, and aptitude. Don't put a full stop, just write. I'll continue. The upper limit of an individual's power, competence, and aptitude to do, to contain, to absorb, to process, and to deliver results. You must write it. I will take it again. The upper limit of an individual's power, competence, aptitude to do, comma, to contain, to absorb, to process, and to deliver results. The upper limit of an individual's power, competence, and aptitude to do, to contain, to absorb, to process, and to deliver results. Let me give you the third. If you've not gotten there, get the teaching. Number three. What is the definition of capacity? The maximum production or generation rate of a person or a system. The maximum production or generation rate of a person or a system. Three definitions. All right, let Mercy speak. Let me run it one last time. Number one, the quantitative limit of a person or a thing. It's a measure of the maximum amount of volume that that person or thing can hold or contain. Number two, the upper limit of an individual's power, competence, and aptitude to do, to contain, to absorb, to process, and to deliver results. And then number three, the maximum production or generation rate of a person or a system. Praise the name of the Lord. It's quite a broad and elaborate description, but I'll try to break it down. I try to put it together. I like to break very complex concepts and to make them small enough to allow for understanding and assimilation, so you can be sure that I will not leave you in the dark. Many of you just wrote it, but you are trying to understand what you just wrote, but it's not quite clear. But that's why you are here. That's why we are teaching you the word. Now, to understand capacity, I want you to look at it in four dimensions, and I'll read out those dimensions very quickly. Remember, we defined it as, generally speaking, the quantitative limit of a person. So it's a measure of how much you can hold or retain. But to thoroughly understand it, you have to break it down to four dimensions. So I will give you four dimensions to understanding capacity. Dimension number one, I call it a volumetric dimension. Volumetric dimension. That means it measures how much you can hold or how much you can contain before saturation. Volumetric dimension. This is the first dimension to understanding capacity. Volumetric dimension. It's a measure of how much you can hold spiritually, mentally, and on whatever. How much you can hold or contain before saturation. Like a GP tank, for an example. So if you buy a GP tank that say 2,000 liters and you pour in 4,000 liters, 2,000 will be wasted because the capacity of that GP tank is 2,000 liters. That means everything beyond, technically beyond 2,000 liters cannot be retained. Are we together? So we're saying in teaching capacity, the first area for consideration is the volumetric dimension. So it talks about the ability to contain, a measure of how much you can hold or contain before saturation. So this talks of size, this talks of volume. Everybody say capacity as size and volume. One more time, say capacity as size and volume. Second dimension, very quickly, I call it functional dimension. The second dimension to understanding capacity is to consider the functional dimension. What does this mean? How far a person or a system can keep going before a breakdown? A functional dimension. It's a measure of how far a person or a system can keep going before a breakdown. How far a person or a system can keep going before a breakdown. This measures your endurance or your staying power. Are we learning now? So the first dimension measures size and volume, but the second dimension measures your staying power. So it measures physical and mental toughness, and it measures willpower. I'll take that again. Functional dimension is how far a person or a system can keep going before you break down. It is a measure of endurance and staying power. Say endurance. Say staying power. Again, say endurance. Say staying power. So it measures your physical and mental toughness and then your willpower. Story. Once upon a time. So many years ago, we were about to be punished. And I can't remember what we did that was wrong. I'm not even sure we did something wrong. I think we came late for sports. And so they decided to punish a number of us who came late. And the punishment was that we're going to go around the field, track, and we'll go once. So when we went around, we just casually laughed at it and we felt no. They said we should go around. And while we're about going, the teacher, our sports teacher said, We were laughing, and maybe some persons, and he thought we were making jest of him. And he said, okay, we're going to go 7 times. That was the punishment. True story. And so we began. By the second, third one, many collapsed. Many gave up. Many said, just kill me. I'm not going anywhere. But this is a true story. At the end of it, the third round, the fourth round, by the time we got to 4.5, it was just 2 of us that were standing. Myself and another gentleman who was my senior then. And it was as though it was a joke. And the man, it suddenly became, it went beyond a punishment to a discovery. It was going to introduce a dimension of sports that until then we had not gotten in school. Now listen, please. Because he didn't believe that as young people would be able to do that marathon type race, it would break us down. But by 4.5, we're still going. And then the people started cheering us and all of that. I was tired. I can't remember whether I was flying or moving. I just know that I was going forward. And truly, at a point we started walking together. I'm not exaggerating. Just jumping together, you know, running together. And we went 5, we went 6. And in a shocking way, by the 7th round, we all went together and arrived at the same time. They clapped for us. It was no longer punishment. From that time, they now introduced marathon during the interhouse. Now, this is capacity, not as measure of volume, but as your endurance. Do you understand what I'm telling you now? Yeah. This is very important. A measure of endurance. Functional dimension. Number 3. The third dimension to understanding capacity is what I call cognitive and psychological dimension. Cognitive is spelled C-O-N-C-O-G-N-I-T-I-V-E. I hope I'm correct. Cognitive and psychological dimension. Capacity. This is a measure of the intellectual limits, cognitive and psychological dimension. This is a measure of the intellectual limits of an individual. Listen carefully. A measure of the intellectual limits of an individual to process information, to manage emotional pressure, to make rational decisions, and to make sound judgment. Let me take that again. Cognitive and psychological dimension of capacity measures the intellectual limit of an individual to process information. You have that down? To manage emotional pressures. You'll be so blessed today, I'm telling you. To make rational decisions. And then to make sound judgment without being exhausted or overwhelmed. Cognitive and psychological dimension to understanding capacity. Again, a measure of the intellectual limits of an individual. I hope those following online are following. Please follow very carefully. It measures the intellectual limit of an individual to process information, to manage emotional pressure, to make rational decisions, and to make sound judgment without being exhausted or overwhelmed. So this one measures strength, emotional strength and maturity. So number 1 measures volume and size. Are we learning? Number 2 measures mental toughness, endurance, staying power. Number 3 measures emotional strength and maturity. Can I give you number 4? Number 4 is a word that you have to be in the legal practice to understand. I tried to get another word, but this was the word that best described what I was trying to get from my study. It's called juridical dimension. So let me spell juridical for you. Juridical is spelled J-U-R-I-D-I-C-I-A-L. J-U-R-I-D-I-C-I-A-L. I'm telling you, if this is how they taught many students, all these F students get, they wouldn't have gotten it that way. Who would spell juridical for you? I mean, they'll just write it, write whatever it is. Praise God. Are we learning? Now listen to this. So juridical dimension, the root word is a legal word. It's something that has to do with, you know, but then we can extrapolate that word to apply to this. It's a measure of ranking and sphere of authority. Listen, please. It's a measure of ranking and sphere of authority through resourcefulness, vastness of knowledge, accreditation, qualification, and competence. I'll take that again. Juridical dimension of capacity is a measure of ranking and sphere of authority that has come to a person through resourcefulness, vastness of knowledge or broadness of knowledge, accreditation, qualification, and competence. So this talks of status and ranking that is based on resourcefulness and the accompanying accreditation. For an example, when you call someone and you say his son, S-A-N, a senior advocate, you see that? That person has capacity. He's a high-ranking judicial officer based on accreditation, experience, resourcefulness. Are we together? Now, everyone who's graduated, say, for an example, from, you know, the Nigerian law school, can be called a lawyer, a barrister, and all of that. But among that, there are rankings. And the rankings define the scope, the jurisdiction, and the kind of authority that they can exert. Who understands me so far? So let's do a quick review. If you still don't understand what I've told you, begin to pray in tongues. I'm joking. Number one, I said there's volumetric dimension to understanding capacity. This talks of size and volume. How much you can hold, how much you can retain before saturation. Number two, we spoke about the functional dimension to understanding capacity. How far this measures your endurance or your staying power. It's a measure of physical and mental toughness and your willpower. Number three, we spoke about the cognitive and psychological dimension. This is a measure of the intellectual limits, how far you can stretch your mind and your emotions as far as processing information, managing emotional, you know, loads and pressure, making rational decisions and judgment without being overwhelmed and without being exhausted. And then finally, juridical dimension, which is a measure of ranking, status, and your sphere of authority, which is a measure of your resourcefulness, your accreditation, your qualification, and competence. Praise God. Now, let me have your attention. It's no news that most believers have a perpetual cry for more in their spirit. Our prayer meetings, global and across this nation, in fact, are filled with prayer requests that speak to the fact that we desire more power, more influence, more wealth, greater impact, more of God, you know, more of these things. So we cry, we pray that prayer more, but the cry for more, I wrote here, often remains an unanswered prayer for many believers because they are unaware that their desires require growth, require stature, and require capacity to steward them. That means when you cry and say, Lord, give me greater anointing. If you're a pastor, for an example, and you say, take me from 100 members to 500, to 1,000, to 10,000. If you're a believer in the marketplace and you're saying, Lord, take me to managerial or executive levels. If you are a CEO and you're trusting God to scale your business, whatever dimension you're trusting, praying for more. It's important for you to know that the prayer for more remains dead on arrival until you understand that that prayer is status dependent, is growth dependent, and is capacity dependent. I taught you that there are many ways God answers prayers. Chiefest of them is to suspend what you are praying about and to cause you, the person who is praying, to grow to the level that makes that answer worth, you know, resting upon you as a solution or as an answer, as a desire met. Praying for things that they cannot handle has been the lot of many believers. We pray for things. We pray for dimensions, particularly power and authority. I think the greatest area of ignorance in this is the prayer for power. We cry for anointing. We cry for authority. And we're well-intentioned as we do this, except that that's not how it happens. I wrote a few things here and I want you to listen. I said authority is not just delegation to represent God. Authority is a weight and it is a burden that you must be trained and built to carry. Authority is not just delegation to represent God or to represent whatever human system you are under. It is a weight, truly, and it is a burden, and you must be trained and built to carry it. Many desire spiritual authority. Many desire, you know, to carry certain responsibilities, not knowing that these responsibilities can be a burden to you. When you say, I want greater anointing, I want greater authority, it's a burden. And it is a weight that if you are not trained, it will end up becoming a curse. There are many people today who hate their future because they prayed themselves without preparing. They desired and even manipulated their way into a future. They had access to grace that their capacity was too small for. Who is learning? Now, look at this. Do you know, I almost felt like Shakespeare. As I was writing my notes, a few thoughts just came to my mind. I was so impressed by the creativity. Listen. If you are not impressed by what I'm about to say, honestly, that's your business. But listen to me. Hallelujah. Just joking to get your attention. But this is what I wrote here. I said the crown and the scepter that symbolizes royalty and dominion will only be weights and burdens on the head and the hands of a child. The crown and the scepter. I knew it. Something told me you will like what I just wrote. See that? English people. Hallelujah. But now that you're done laughing, listen now. The crown and the scepter. Crown, scepter, symbol of authority. That symbolizes royalty and dominion. Will only be weights and burdens on the head and the hand of a child. So look with me for a moment. Pure gold with all kinds of diamond crystals, the crown on the head of a king, and then the scepter as heavy as it is. Look at a little baby, and then you try to drop that crown on the head of the baby and force the baby to hold the scepter. Those things are symbols. They are tokens of royalty and dominion. But because of the status, are we together, of that person, it becomes a burden. You can use that crown and the staff to kill the child, in fact. Number two, the sword and the armor that depicts a warrior will only be a weight and a burden in the hand of a child and an unskilled person. The sword and the armor that depicts, that's the picture of a warrior. If I tell you, paint for me the picture of a warrior, you show me a well-built man holding a sword and holding an armor. And I'm saying that a sword and an armor that depicts a warrior will only be a weight and a burden in the hand of an unskilled person. This is a very profound understanding. Good things can still curse you if you don't have capacity. Good things can still destroy you. Next level can become the worst thing that happened to you if you do not have capacity. Just because it is from God does not mean it will bless you. It should bless you if your capacity can receive it. There are many people today who were destroyed because of good, not evil. They were trusted with levels of finances that was way beyond their level of discipline, godliness, financial intelligence, and what was supposed to be a blessing tore them into pieces. And sometimes, with all due respect, leaders, parents, we, out of a not too accurate understanding of love, we feel that the greatest way to demonstrate love is to give unlimited access. It's poor understanding. Giving unlimited access as proof of love may be well intentioned by the giver, but it will usually deceive the receiver. So you have little children, unlimited access to the cars of their parents, unlimited access to ATMs without a track record, without proving growth experientially. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Then it says the government shall be on the shoulder. That does not sound like an award. That sounds like a burden. The government shall be on the shoulder of the son. Hallelujah. Desire must match growth and capacity to become a blessing to the receiver. Write that down. Desire must match growth and capacity to become a blessing to the receiver. This is powerful. No matter what it is that you desire, the greatest way, in fact, to demonstrate desire is not just to keep dreaming and mesmerizing about it, and when it arrives, is to grow yourself into the version that naturally attracts that reality to you. Did you know that most people who are not so concerned, in fact, they may not be as visionary, but they are invested in growth. They end up stepping into vision and purpose in experience more than those who even have it on their books, but will not grow into it. There are many people today who are not confused as to what God wants them to do. They have notebooks that will tell you, I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle, I'm a kingdom financier. And for 10 years, 20 years, that book is like that, and they have not gone to chapter one of the experience of that book. Because prophecy alone without capacity will leave you disappointed. Hallelujah. Who is learning? There are angry people today in their old age, full of many books of great visions that they wrote, disappointed with God and men, wondering why God would speak so expressly about a lofty destiny, and then time would pass and keep passing. Time would pass and keep passing. And yet nothing would happen that looks like what God said. Capacity. Did you know, even for Jesus, the messianic prophecy was already there, but your Bible says, Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased. I want to tell you how he grew until he became a savior. The baby could not have been a savior. The teenager could not have been a savior. It took a certain age, not just grace, to be savior. You could not call baby Jesus a savior. You could not call teenager Jesus a savior. There are many teenagers saying, I'm savior, potentially, prophetically, yes. But until you attain to that stature, John was a great prophet. But Luke 1 and verse 80 tells us that John remained in the wilderness. Give it to us. Luke 1:80, please. John remained, and the child grew, John, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. How many of you know that God spoke to Samuel about David? He said, forget about Saul, I've rejected him. Go to the house of Jesse, take your horn, go and anoint the next king. And they called a young boy. What do you think he was doing in the backside? Unknown to him, he thought he was just obeying his father and maximizing his teenage. He did not know that there was a track record in the spirit. He was building capacity. Because when he stood before Goliath, he made reference to his training. Let me announce to you, the cluelessness of your walk today, as confused as you are, there is a record in the spirit marking you. For praying without seeing results, fasting without seeing results, serving in the house of God without anyone telling you thank you. You do not know that that thing is the training of an apostle, the training of a prophet. But sometimes God hides the details so that pride will not distract you. He will tell you, just keep serving, keep going. Unknown to you, that path you are following is the destiny of Mary. That path you are following is the destiny of Esther. That path you are following is the destiny of Sarah. You will be a great mother of nations, but he will not tell you. He will give you a picture and hide the details, because sometimes the awareness of where you are getting to can distract you. So Joseph wakes up in the morning. Are we together now? And Joseph had a great dream. The sun, the moon, 11 stars. You know, the sheaves of the brothers bowing to him. And he went to his father. I'm sure if you ask a young boy, young man, so you have a great destiny, he would have said, just watch and see. Oh dear. He did not know that from prophecy to manifestation, all that happened to him. Now you will see these four definitions in the life of Joseph. All four. Volume, functional dimension, cognitive dimension. You see that now. Do you know what it means to be sold by your own brothers? That level of anger, by the time you become king, if you have not grown emotionally, what will you do to the brothers? And all of them are alive. You will forgive them after you jail them. You will tell all of them, go and put them in that same well. Do you like it now, or you come out? Let's sell them to Egypt for 1 year. Do you like it? Put them in the prison. Do you like it? He said, now I forgive you. Taste of... No. But he said, you meant it for evil. That's growth. That one is not spirituality. No, that's not spirituality. That's emotional mastery. That you can watch the people who seem to have destroyed your life, but you are matured enough. Are we together? I wish I had time, I would have shown you the reason why many of the disciples of Jesus failed at various levels. It was not, I used to think all of them, it was just an attack of the devil. But as I studied from a leadership standpoint, I saw the gaps. I saw the gaps. And when you see the training of the Spirit, it covers all these areas. You see that now. This is very powerful. Pay attention to what I'll be showing you now. But it's important for you to know. So when you see people trusted by God, and you simply say God anointed them, that's a layman's description of why you think they are where they are. You see, that dimension is a summation of so many things. There is a level, the day you get to in the spirit, men start abusing you till you die. Do you have the stamina to receive an insult while you are eating? And the television program is about you. And they say, what a stupid man of God or a stupid banker. Will your appetite still remain to eat? And that you will not tell it on your wife and tell it on your children. And while you are about that, God will say, go to that city like Nineveh and go and preach. You see why Jonah ran away? Jonah's issue was not backsliding. Jonah was pained because he knew God would be merciful. Maybe they killed his friend in Nineveh. Who knows? And now God is saying, go and preach redemption. He said, God, you are joking, not me. Imagine with me that a terrorist that killed your loved one is in a position right now. And then God says, preach for the, to the person. And you're looking at the person and you remember. No, it takes strength. The Bible says if you turn aside in the day of battle, it is not just that Satan attacked you. It is lack of capacity. Now, there are many people who are priding, believing that they have a glorious tomorrow. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not trained to build yourself in terms of capacity, you will have lofty visions. You will have dreams. Accurate prophets and apostles and, you know, fivefold people will speak to you. It will never come to pass. And it will not be that God failed you. It's that God has ordained for you to carry a 50,000 liter of grace and you bring a cup. God will not waste grace like that. That cup is too small. Many people desire graces that are by far greater than the capacity they have to receive. You are praying that it should rain for 7 days non-stop, and all you bring out is one bucket. It's a waste of water. It's a waste of rain. I'm praying for you already that the keys I'll be showing you right now, some of you in this place, you will be so stretched. I'm telling you. Do you know, I sense in my spirit that as we continue, there are impartations. Because what I'm telling you will be like, you know how you lose a bolt so that you stretch. Once you stretch, you can literally feel that the anointing will be resting. It's like God is saying, I've been waiting for this. There is more that I want to pour into you. More prophetic oil, apostolic oil. But your capacity is way too small. Way too small. Way too small. Who is learning? Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Shabrandene kaparando siyata. Beyond prophecy. Desire must match growth. Desire must match capacity to be a blessing to the receiver. Shabrabakate beleke paranto soto bakate. Kratele sanakate brastinakate bariata. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. The grace of God without capacity will be like a water dam without channels for the river to flow. You know, we talk a lot about the grace of God, the anointing of the Spirit. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow, not shall stay, shall flow. So most people do not have capacity, talks of the tributaries that you create for that dam, the river to flow to the nations. Hallelujah. When a man's capacity is smaller than the grace he carries, it becomes a curse to him. And all connected to him. Let me say that again. When a man's capacity is smaller than the grace he carries, it becomes a curse to him and all connected to him. It's the reason why, with all due respect, as men and women of God, we must be careful as we lay hands on people. Because sometimes someone just comes to meet you and says, Apostle, my own is not just a double portion. I want a quadruple portion. And you look at the person with passion, compassion, and empathy. You are wondering, what do I tell this man now? You know, sometimes, let me tell you, most of those falling down, is not impartation, it's initiation into the process of build up. The man of God knows that what flowed to you was not the grace you were praying for. What flowed to you was the stamina to begin the journey of growth. Because praying certain prayers for you to receive grace. Imagine somebody who walks up to say, "Our Father in the Lord, that the Geo," and says, "I want a double portion of your anointing." First, minus church growth, minus whatever. Let me tell you, you most likely would die in 1 month. Do you know what it means to oversee a network of churches across the globe? When there's war in one country, you must find out what is happening to the church there. When there's a query there, imagine the thousands of pastors, maybe with all due respect. No, look, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that when you understand this, you will not be afraid to go slowly. God gives speed, but respect process. Because process helps you grow, so that by the time you get to the next junction, you have the stamina to receive the riches and the blessings there. Who is learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. This is very powerful. When a man's capacity is smaller than the grace he carries, it becomes a curse to him and a curse connected to him. And the Lord placed it in my heart to just respectfully bring a word of caution to leaders. And here's the word. Beware, I wrote here, of emotionally exposing people. Beware of emotionally exposing people to opportunities, to platforms, to resources, and to responsibilities that are way beyond their capacity to handle and steward. It will end up destroying them and destroying what they represent. Let me take that again. This is to leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors, business leaders, political leaders. Beware of emotionally, sentimentally exposing people to opportunities, to platforms, to resources, and to responsibilities that are way beyond their capacity to handle and to steward. It will end up destroying them and destroying what they represent. So don't just say, "This person is my friend. Because of that, I want to give you a branch with 2,000 people. He prayed in tongues for 1 hour and I had him pray." Really? Listen, the grace of God is not a license to lack of growth. I told you, grace available is not what profits you. It is grace received, grace utilized, and grace maximized. Praise the name of the Lord. So for an example, you say you want a church to pastor a church of, let's say, 500 or 1,000 people. Are you ready to manage the nuances, the conflicts that happen with those kinds of people? Do you have the stamina? Can they wake you up in the night and you will not be offended? That's the responsibility that comes with that kind of honor. Sometimes, as spiritual leaders, as business leaders, political leaders, and so on and so forth, we get into that pressure of emotionally, sentimentally exposing people, children, loved ones. You imagine, for an example, someone who has never held 1 million naira, 1 million naira, and it's not just some breakthrough somewhere and has not grown. A young person, both in mind and age, and then you now give him 1 billion. Not that you deposit it in an account to his credit. You now give him unlimited access to it. What will the boy do? He will do what he knows to do. Prodigal son. Are you seeing that the prodigal son's father had that wealth? It was for the son. But the boy knew that it was in his destiny. But he did not wait for capacity. He said, "Father, I don't know why you are delaying the arrival of this, my things. I can handle it." Let me tell you, most times, the arrogance of believing you can handle it is proof that you have not grown. Because when you grow, you will have a healthy reference. Even when you can truly handle it, you are so aware of the enormity of that responsibility, you will be silent. There are many people who believe, "What my pastor is doing, just give me room, I can do it and I can do better. What is there in preaching? What is there in praying for people? Miracles. What is there in prophesying? What is there in seeing visions? This CEO, he's not even very coherent. He doesn't speak well. It's so embarrassing that such a smart staff like me is such a junior staff in this company. I wish that man can clear the road. Let me sit down and use my knowledge of economics. Use my knowledge of this and that and that." I told you, one way God tames pride is to promote you. One of the ways that God tames pride is, okay, you've been shouting, go. By the time you sit there, the way that seat becomes hot, you look left, you look right, and you find out that there are people who have been sitting on that seat for decades. As hot as it is, that's the coolest it will become. I told you the easiest part of greatness is getting there. Maintaining greatness is harder than arriving there. The dynamics, if you do not understand how to manage that realm of reality, it can tear you like a wild animal. This is not to inflict fear. It is in your destiny, but it's to prepare you. Someone shout capacity. Say that again. Say capacity. Hallelujah. Every time you saw people, look at Esther. What changed about Esther's life? I always wondered why the king, I thought he was an arrogant king. Because you wanted to get a wife, you would gather young ladies and ask them to stay for 1 year just to see you. Who do you think you are? It's called capacity. If you say, who do you think he is? Find out what it means to be a king over 127 provinces. You will know why you must wait 1 year. Are we together? God, what is it about your voice that you will not speak to me? I've been crying for a prophetic anointing. Let it come upon my life. I'm ready to start ministry. And God says, okay, I understand. It's in your destiny. He will encourage you with one dream again. Say, God, it's not a dream. I want to step into the experience. Then God says, all right, let me show you the gravity of what you are stepping into. God will give you an invitation to a crusade. On your way to that crusade, your car will break down. Not that God makes it break down. You will be angry by the time you get to the crusade ground. Your host will not have prepared well to receive you. That level of anger, and God will say, make sure my people are blessed. What happened to you, we'll discuss it later on. That's when you realize that being able to take away your pain and focus on God's people is a skill. It's a skill that only growth can bring. Are we together? That there are people who can be on stage preaching and they can send them a letter. Your dad just died. Your mom just died. They will contain themselves and minister to God's people before they go and cry later on. There are things you need to learn. Many, many things. So God will test you. Someone will give you 10 million naira. And just when you are rejoicing, God will say, oh, I didn't tell you, it's not your own. It just passed through your account. You are going to send it to this building project. And you say, God, something that my eye just saw. Is this how you want to stop my joy? It's no longer the devil stopping my joy. And God will say, I thought you just prayed yesterday and said I want to be your treasurer. What do treasurers do? And God will say, give the money. And they're like, I bind this voice. This voice cannot be the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he will speak peace. By the time you give that 10 million naira, you will think by the next day, God will say, okay, I've seen your faithfulness. 1 year, you will not have grown after that. And yet, let me tell you, that is still an exam you are writing. A day will come, that 10 million you were struggling to give is what you may give every day for the rest of your life. Because the string that connects you with material things was cut as your capacity grew. Who is learning? One day you say, Lord, my desire is to glorify you in ministry. Then God will send you for a program. And in a strange way, the power of God will not seem to move that day. Oh, there's someone here, your name is Judith. Nobody comes out. There's someone here, your name is John. He's a military man who will come out. You say you are single. You say I have 5 children, some old enough to be your age. What are you saying? Don't play with me here. I will take you from pulpit to the prison. And you will shake like a leaf on that stage. And it's God that truly sent you. That's when you will see the value of praying in the spirit till you build capacity. This and that. And while you are preaching and shouting, you were so impressed by your notes. But 30 minutes, everybody's looking at you like a stone. And you are wondering, are they getting it or they are not getting it? And at the end of it, you wrap up and they are talking with themselves and you are already afraid. And God says, okay, get back. Nobody will tell you to pray. Nobody will tell you to watch the videos of those who have gone ahead of you. You see, those things have become a schoolmaster. Many times, overconfidence needs exposure to be managed. Once you are overconfident, God opens you up to a horizon. And then you will see that you are good, but not that good. You are getting to the table where everybody is a champion. Don't celebrate yourself too fast. I think I told you a story, for those of you who have been here for a long time, I told you a story when we're in secondary school. So we used to do these debates, you know, literature and debates. And with respect to where we were the superstars there. Until the day we went to try one school. You know, this kind of school that they have all kinds of clubs. They train their children. You see the children speaking as if they put a dictionary in their head. And we now got up, wore, dressed well, and went there. What they did for us that day. I had to look at our teacher that trained us. I mean, hallelujah. Even her, I'm sure she knew that day, that Kai. So, whenever you feel ready, the question you need to ask is, by what standard? Now, celebrate milestones, but by what standards? At a local level, okay, you can start, fair enough. But where you say, no, that table is where I want to go and say, be careful. Those who have sat on that table, there is a skill to sit there. First, you will not even understand the language that is spoken there. Are we together? Imagine someone who just gathered some money and said, I must fly business class, with all due respect. Not exposure, not celebrating a milestone. You just want to force yourself into a realm. And you get there, you don't know how to use the seat. You don't know how to do it because you did not get there by growth. You sit on a first class seat and you don't have credit on your phone to call. And your phone is, with all due respect, not to mock, your phone is saying there's 1 minute left. You were not supposed to be there. I can tell you. Because when you grow, everything that supports that level grows with you. The relationships, the intelligence, the understanding of system, the ethos of that realm, it comes with you. Are we learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Our world today is full of people who have manipulated their way into realms of responsibility and platforms without adequate preparation, and have become a disaster to themselves and to all connected to them. Let me tell you this. You can feel ready, but it does not mean you are ready. We live in a world where there's what we call local champion, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. By the time you've hung around people who are, you know, with all due respect, at a very low level, spiritually, intellectually, chances are excellent that you mark your script and believe you are such a superstar. And you carry that mentality until you get to the realm where everybody there is a champion. That's when you will see that you have done well, commendably well, but not enough to have gotten there yet. I'm telling you, anywhere my growth has not gotten to, I'm not interested in embarrassing myself. I can grow gradually and God takes me there. I don't want to get into a place where I do not understand the ethics of that realm of greatness because it did not come by growth. When you grow into a realm, you step there with confidence because preparation and grace has proceeded before you. Who is learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Why do I get invited only to a youth meeting? Someone will say, it's only when they are speaking to teenagers and young people, they now invite me. Do they know how old I am? I need to speak at a men's conference, or a women's conference, or a business conference. And then one day you get into a business conference where everybody there is a billionaire. And they say, okay, you have 15 minutes, just out of honor, just tell us something. And you speak as if you are talking in a debate. Good evening, uncles and aunties and young children and timekeeper and panel of judges. And they are looking at themselves and say, who brought this man here now? What is, don't waste our time. Where would I be if you left me now? Where would I be if you left me now? Where would I be? You waited. Let me tell you, there are many of you, I give you just few months with what you are learning. You will sit in certain tables. I'm telling you, you will stand before kings. You will stand before great men. Those who knew you before and say, are you the person I saw there? You say, of course. They say, how did you get there? You say, it's the grace of God, but come on. I submitted myself to build capacity. Pray that prayer in 1 minute and say, Lord, the capacity required to step into the next season, the capacity required to make prophecy manifest in my life. I submit to build. Capacity is not a gift. It's a consequence. It's an outcome. Shabratekete, 1 minute. Krakata prentaka parakata praskata pakata. Ebratataka prakata lekata prakata leka parakatosh. In Jesus' name we pray. Please sit down. This is not a pastor's conference, but let me tell you something. This is with all due respect, particularly to men of God. Gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, make a person very charismatic, but it doesn't necessarily mean the person has grown. So you can find someone come to lead prayer in your fellowship, and the way he prays in tongues, you say, no, this guy's ready for ordination. What are we waiting for? This kind of tongues? No. You will be surprised. You know, in boxing, there's lightweight. There's featherweight. You can still be a champion under featherweight. If I don't get it right, forgive me. There's lightweight. There's medium weight. There's, what's the highest? Heavyweight. They don't allow them fight themselves because it will be wrong. A loser under heavyweight will kill the champion with featherweight. A loser, that's the one who never won anything but got there. That some of these guys, their punch can be like one bag of cement on you. So that you beat somebody featherweight and you won, you've done well. But don't get up one day and go and try somebody because he lost when he was fighting heavyweight. You get my analogy now. That's when you realize you stood somewhere and you prayed and the headache was healed. And the next thing you get up, not by God, emotionally. And you go and say, you know what? Everybody who is sick, come. The dead, bring the dead, come. Now, I know the Bible says you shall raise the dead. You are right. But that thing right there is a prophetic reality. Until you see well, you see that between prophecy and manifestation, there is a real journey. So, you find people bring 5 dead bodies, 10 wheelchairs, 20 blind people, all kinds of people. And then the entire crusade will be 50 people. So you can't hide. Everybody sick is there. And you will shout and say the things Jesus can do. Then when it's now time to pray for the sick, you'll be surprised. And you know, let me tell you something that happens in those villages. They don't wait until they start pushing their sick people forward. If you have done any rural crusade, you know that. They push the sick. It's not here that if the person is not healed, they just sit quietly not to embarrass you. In the village there, they believe what you said and they will push the person. They say, what is wrong with this one? They say, 1, he's on wheelchair. 2, he's deaf. 3, he's not even, with all due respect, he's not even coherent. So even if his ears open, you still have to do a miracle of mental soundness. You bought suit, you bought tie, you carried anointing oil, you carried horn, you went to the village. Now, I'm not being sarcastic, don't get me wrong. You blow your horn and be tired there and you stand. Now, let me tell you the truth. Sometimes, God himself orchestrates you not to embarrass you, so that it will show you the gravity of the exam you are about to write. Then he will go back and say, now that you appreciate the people you are to save, do you now appreciate the dealings? Then you will yield yourself. Are we together? Let's hurry up. So our world is full of people who have manipulated their way into realms of responsibility. They have manipulated their way into platforms without adequate preparation. And unfortunately, sooner or later, there'll be a disaster to themselves and to all connected to them. Now, very quickly, before I get to the other part of what I want to discuss, let me put a balance immediately. There are people, with all due respect, who, this is a balance now. They never believe God can raise others, and they never believe anyone outside of them can ever be prepared enough. That's the balance. Nobody really gets prepared enough. There is a threshold of preparation, then the remaining learning happens as you go. Are we together now? So the balance here is not so that you don't keep clamping down the wings of people. And then when an eaglet is learning to fly, you say you are joking, you are still a child. There are people in their world and they have produced irresponsible people. The child is 40 years, 50 years. You say, I hope you know you are a child. The boy says, okay, I'm a child. And then one day you say, when are you going to get out of my house? He said, when I become an adult. He said, when is that? He said, maybe when I'm 70. Because you called a 40-year-old child a child. 50 years, child. There is a balance. Because sometimes, and this is true with all due respect for parents, for leaders, we get so emotionally connected to those we are raising that we are afraid that they cannot stand on their own. Always remember, the God who took a risk with you can also take a risk with others. So don't become overly protective that you raise people and there are many giant children. They can't fly. You clamp their wings either as a result of insecurity or overprotectiveness. Two things. Insecurity or overprotectiveness. Capacity is a direct result of growth. Capacity is a direct result of growth. Let's make progress. I wrote here that building capacity is one of the greatest demonstrations of faith in God. Faith in yourself and faith in your future. I'm bringing these points and letting you write them because I don't want you to miss any part of them. I said capacity is a direct result of growth. And then that building capacity is one of the greatest demonstration of faith in God, faith in yourself, and faith in the future. That means don't tell me I believe in God. Don't tell me I believe in myself. Don't tell me I believe in my future. Let me see the level of investedness. Your investedness to build capacity is proof whether or not you believe in God, is proof whether or not you believe in yourself, and is proof whether or not you believe in that tomorrow. Say, I believe in God. Shout it, Koinonia. Say, I believe in God. Say, I believe in me. Say, I believe in my destiny. One more time. Say, I believe in God. In fact, say, I believe in Jesus. Say, I believe in me. And I believe in my prophetic destiny. But just chanting it and saying it and wishing it will not come to pass. The person who is shouting and saying, I have a great tomorrow, versus the person who is being invested, as I'm going to be showing you the keys to building capacity, that person, the latter, will get into his or her prophetic destiny more than the one who is just wishfully imagining and mesmerizing. There are so many lazy people who believe that magically time will bring them into their prophetic destiny. It takes capacity, a function of growth. Now, there are a number of areas where we must contend to build capacity if we desire to maximize grace and to rise to the highest heights in life and destiny. Don't forget what we're dealing with. We're dealing with capacity and stature. Capacity and stature. That's our topic for tonight. I'm showing you how to maximize grace. I'm showing you how stature enhances dominion, enhances destiny actualization, and helps you to serve the purposes and the program of God at the highest level. I said there are a number of areas where we must contend to build capacity if we desire to maximize grace and to rise to the highest heights in life and destiny. How to build capacity? Let me give you a few keys very quickly. How to build capacities? Capacity. Is it all right if we pray in the Spirit for 1 minute? There's a transference of grace happening while we pray. Take me to the place The place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be. You are my strength, you are my covering, you're my safety, my foundation. Take me to the place, the place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be. Take me to the place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be. Never forget what you're about to learn now. I want to show you how to build capacity. Let me assure you, beloved brothers and sisters, many things we pray for today were not designed to be prayer points. They were designed to be consequences of growth and capacity. When you learn to grow, you will spend time in prayer to deepen your relationship, not to call for needs. There are many dimensions we are praying for right now. I can tell you, they were not designed to be prayer requests. The fact that we are praying for them is a symptom of stuntedness in growth. Can you imagine a young child growing as a man and praying as a baby and saying, I want to have a husky voice like my father, or I want beard on my face? No, it's a consequence of growth. How many of you know that there are little children who do wonders when they are left alone at home? They carry mother's wig or weave on, put it on their head, put everything, and carry the dress, and it swallows them almost to choke them, and they wrestle there until an adult comes to save them. In their minds, they believe that dressing like mommy and maybe standing as she's standing is what makes her. Sometimes they pick their phones and want to say hello, and they're saying a lot of nonsense. They call people they should not call, and they are playing around. They are trying to be adults, but that does not make them adults. Maturity is not a gift. It's a product of time, process, and investedness. Hallelujah. How to build capacity. Number one, the first key, very quickly, to anyone and everyone who desires to build capacity, knowing that there's a relationship between capacity, stature, and dominion. Capacity, stature, and victory. Capacity, stature, and purpose. Capacity, stature, and serving the program of God to the highest level. Commanding victory, commanding triumph at the highest level. These are the keys, number one. The first key is that you must recognize and admit the need for growth and capacity as the key to maximizing grace. You must recognize and admit the need for growth and capacity as the key to maximizing grace. That's the first key. You cannot contend to build capacity and stature until you recognize and you admit the need. You must admit the need for growth. You must admit the need for stature and capacity as the way to maximize grace. How do you achieve this? By opening up yourself. Sometimes just watching those who represent your future can inspire you and show you the need. You can see through their lives, through their competence, gaps in the area where you are deficient. One of the ways that transformation happens is through exposure. When exposure is done in a healthy way, it can provoke transformation. Because when you see others and you see them gain mastery, you see them play the laws of life and the kingdom and destiny like a chess, and you see them win so effortlessly, as you see an interplay of these laws and the victory that comes from it, you will see the gaps in your knowledge and you return back with a holy provocation to learn and to close those gaps. Are we learning now? Recognition is very important. You must recognize and admit the need for growth and capacity. Number two, the second key, if you want to build capacity, you must invest time in prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. You must invest time in prayer. We'll talk about the various dimensions, but now you must invest time in prayer. No man in the kingdom builds capacity without a track record of, I'm telling you sincerely, at least years of consistent strategic prayer in the spirit. I don't know. I may be wrong. I don't know everything. But in my study of the word and the privilege of years of mentoring and raising people, there is nobody who becomes a champion and a giant in the spirit. I'm talking in the kingdom without a time, sufficient time invested in the business of prayer, not just to get needs, prayer for edification. Many champions you see today across the globe, they began their spiritual journey by praying every night, every day, not knowing he will be a CEO. Every night, every day, not knowing he will be a prophet. Investing time every night, every morning, every day, every other day, during your retreat. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Don't pray out of guilt. Pray out of revelation. If you pray out of guilt because you are surrounded by brothers and sisters in the faith and you do not want them to perceive you as an unserious believer, you will dissipate energy, but it will not carry life, because falsehood will keep that door closed. You must pray out of revelation. The Bible said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, I will pray. Shout it, say, I will pray. There are many of you, based on God's prophetic calendar, by now, you should have attained a certain ranking and stature in the spirit, but you are still a babe in the spirit. Any little attack on you, God will have to wake an intercessor to bridge the gap. Because if you were left with your level of spiritual understanding to manifest that victory, you will be swept completely. Like the wind, just carrying a piece of paper. Because you are very light in the spirit. Is somebody learning now? Please take seriously what you are hearing. Say, I will pray. Prayer, there is a grace that empowers men to pray, but prayer is an action, is an activity of discipline. Discipline that is sponsored by revelation. Anybody who tells you prayer is always convenient is lying to you. It's not true. There are times that you are tired, everything within you is saying sleep, but you know for the sake of where you are going, you must get up and build capacity. Is somebody learning now? Preachers, pray. The journey is still far. Businessmen, pray. The journey is still far. My sister, pray. It's in your destiny to bring four prophets out of your womb. Make sure you pray. Don't just wait and say, God, when will the husband come? Pray! So that the day the man comes, you can combine ministry, motherhood, wifehood, what again? Everything together and not fail. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray. Man of God, the journey is far. It's in your destiny to travel the nations. But now that you are not occupied, please pray. God has hidden you in the ushering team. Use that opportunity to pray. Don't be in a hurry to say they must know me. When you get too busy, you will be half-baked. So wait until God deals with you. When it is your season of appearing, God has many ways of releasing you. He can talk to men to lift you, but if they refuse, he will put his hand on your life by himself and announce you. There are many ways God announces men. Everybody say, I will pray. Say, I receive grace to build capacity. Say it again, I receive grace to build capacity. Hallelujah. You need to build capacity. Capacity to believe God. Capacity to believe God. As a man of God, you can have all the revelation in the world. You must build capacity to believe God to pay your ministry bills without lying to people. Don't get into the illusion that there are some partners that will just come. I know God will bring them. They will give me money. They will fund my crusade. Be careful. They will come, but it takes capacity. Capacity is like a magnet. If your magnet is weak, it cannot draw those who will help you. Have you seen a weak magnet? It can't draw, but there are certain magnets, the magnets that pick up cars at the seaport. They are so strong, they will pick up a car like a piece of paper. You can become like that. You can assume a stature in the spirit. When you step into a place, you gravitate everything that is consistent with prophecy to come to your life. Helpers, resources. How do you think the keyboardist will come to your church? How do you think the drummer will come? Just by saying, where are you? No, the grace and the track record is what draws them. How do you think the helpers will come? Who is learning? Say capacity. Please receive grace to pray. Please receive grace to pray. An attack on your prayer life is an attack on your spiritual life. Apostle, my own is business. Pray more. Pray more. The King of Tyre is waiting for you at the gate of business. It's not about buying and selling alone. There are people you do business with, you don't have a track record with God, you will not even wake up by the next day. Because they not only sell products, they sell souls. By the time you get somewhere and they say you want to do, say, oil and gas, or you want to do business transcontinentally, all right, come, meet us by 12. There is a ritual we do. We are not just intelligent people. And then you tell them, no. I am serving the Lord. Serving the Lord for coming here. Let's see. Either we will faint or you will faint. And you carry a lean spirit and go to contend with gates that were there before your arrival. No, sir. Someone say, I will pray. I sense in my spirit some of you, the door God is opening you to right now. You need to strengthen your capacity. I'm telling you, I sense that in my spirit. There are doors, you need to strengthen that capacity. Strengthen it in the place of prayer. No prayer point. You are praying. You are drilling your spirit. You are programming your spirit to be an inferno of fire. That one word that proceeds from you will open up gates for people. One word that proceeds from you will echo like a tornado. It will hit nations from this nation to that nation. This is what stature is about. It's not about the platform. You can have the social media. You can have whatever it is. If you don't have the weight in the spirit, your word will die on arrival. Listen. There are different kinds of aircrafts, and some of those aircrafts have the distance that they can cover. There are smaller private jets that cannot fly, for an example, for more than 12, 14 hours. They would have to just wait somewhere, refuel. You see that now? But there are certain aircrafts that can stretch for 16, 18 hours. They don't stop until they land. And they land as if they just started. It's called wait, sir. It's called wait. As they lift, you will not even know the plane is running that fast. You need to have weight. Carry weight in the spirit. Weight in the spirit. That when you say doors open, it's like an echo. It reverberates the gates of hell. Doesn't matter how long the curses have been. There are many people abusing priesthood by assuming titles without the weight to defend it. I am an apostle, they say. I am a prophet, they say. I am a this and that, they say. And then you become like that tree that has leaves. People run to you expecting that you have done the diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And you speak and there is no weight. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you again. The grace, I'm praying for you. The fire that must enter your spirit. The fire that prayer fire, intercession fire, the grace to stretch until you evolve, until you build. I'm telling you, you may not know what is happening to you for every time you are praying. Consistently, every day, every other day, every time, every other time. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. I see them resting in this place. Sing it. Listen, let me tell you, you must have weight in the spirit to open the gates of nations. It's not desire, it's not vision and goals, it's weight, sir. Weight in the spirit. There are rankings of demons that will tear you. I'm not trying to magnify Satan. I'm telling you the truth. The level of intelligence it takes. You are dealing with spirits. You are dealing with systems. You are dealing with governments. You are dealing with antagonists. Ah, no, come on. You need capacity. God, enlarge me. The journey is far. Enlarge my spirit. The jar parakata prendakata rabanaka paka preskatekate. Enlarge my spirit man for the assignment. Enlarge my spirit man for the assignment. Enlarge my appetite. Let me carry weight in the spirit. Weight in the spirit. Weight in the spirit. Weight in the spirit. Mantles of power, mantles of wisdom. Hey, I see them resting in this land. Mantles of grace, mantles of favor. Hey, I see them resting in this land. Sing, oh, 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 oh. Sing, oh, 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 hey, I see them resting in this place. Sing, hey, I see them resting in this place. Shadabranda Gatakatosh. Pray for 1 minute. Pray for 1 minute. Press for 1 minute. Assume you are alone with God. Pray for 1 minute. Shamanana kata prakata praskata kate. Rakata prantaka prakatola kata prakate. Shamanta prakata prakata. What are you praying for? Capacity. What are you praying for? Wait in the spirit. Shabranta kata prakata. Rakata prantaka paka prakate. Ebranta takata pres. Shabranta kapa rakato prakate. Embrakata takata. The gate is heavy. It needs weight to remove it. You can't just go with a featherweight mentality. It takes stamina to take off the gate. It takes might to take off the gate. Papata kata branta kata. Shaparana kata brakata kala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Listen. Please, all of you, listen. When you are a man of prayer, you don't have to say it. There is an energy that a true functional prayer altar carries. It flows as you speak. I'm not just talking of people falling down. There is a strength. That strength is perceivable even by one who is not spiritual. It's like weight. It's like an arrow. It doesn't matter whether you are shouting or not. Through your conversations, as people stand near you, it's like a spiritual energy. Believers, let's pray. We pray in Africa, but we pray for the wrong reason. Focus on prayer for edification. Not just give me, give me, give me. Not give me, give me. Lord, give me this, give me that. There is a place for that. But you lock yourself. Shamama kata brakata. Embra kata takata kata. Oh. 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 You are praying. Zabranta kata brakata balakata. Sabranta kata brakata. Embranta kata brakata brakato. Zabranta kata kata. And your spirit is rising. Receiving weights of glory, you're contacting genuine power. Fire upon your altar. Fire upon your altar. That's how it works in the spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. Listen. Listen, let's hurry up. Let me tell you something. If you are not a man of prayer, even if you teach about prayer, the grace will not rest on the hearers. The lecture will rest on them, but the grace will not rest because you are bankrupt of that fire. There are many people teaching on prayer, many people talking on prayer. The wisdom of it rests, but the grace does not rest because there must be a track record. You can't fake that one. There is an energy that comes from the place of prayer. Please pray for 1 minute again. Pray for 1 minute. Shake away prayerlessness. Nakapanda tapraskata, ekrata kaparakata, rakata taprakata pekata. Not a need-driven prayer. Prayer for edification, not fanatism. Prayer that builds a man into a warrior, a champion in the spirit. Erantashapranta kaparatos, ebrakata tapakata prakata, sapranta kateleke parakatos. Sabrante matena kosa prakate, ebra kato prateke leketa. Building up yourselves on your most holy, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 minute, 1 minute. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. And as the river flows, it begins to bring every dead thing to life. It's a life-giving river. Let it flow right here, right now. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Fresh fire upon your prayer life. Fresh fire upon your prayer altar. I'm telling you, that prayer will, that fire will burn. You will go back home with that fire tonight. That fire will burn. You will go back home and lock yourself and pray. You are accessing grace. You will lock yourself and pray for edification. No prayer point. You are stretching to build. You are stretching to evolve. You are stretching to mold in the spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated if you can. We have to make progress. You must invest time in prayer. I use the word invest intentionally. Invest time in prayer. Praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. What for? My destiny. Praying in the spirit. What for? Capacity. Praying in the spirit. What for? Weight in the spirit. What for? So that I can host the glory of God. Number three. How to build capacity. One, recognize the need for it. Two, invest time in prayer. Three, invest time in the study of the word and in gaining spiritual understanding. Please write that down. Invest time in the study of the word and in gaining spiritual understanding. Don't just study the word like a good Bible student. You must gain spiritual understanding. Invest time in the study of the word and in gaining spiritual understanding. Let's hurry up. Number four. What do I need to do to build capacity in the spirit? Invest time, listen, in gaining useful knowledge as it concerns the laws of life, effective living, and expertise in your field. Invest time in gaining useful knowledge as it concerns the laws of life, the laws of effective living, and then the laws that make for expertise in your field. After you invest time in the word and in gaining spiritual understanding, don't stop there. You must invest time in gaining useful knowledge, distilled knowledge, aggregated knowledge as it concerns the laws of life. For an example, honor, relationships, diligence. These are the laws of life. They are kingdom laws. but there are also the laws of life. The laws of effective living and then expertise in your field. Number five, the fifth way we build capacity, submit to mentorship for your growth and development. Submit to mentorship. Mentorship gives you the wealth of knowledge that comes from experience and takes away the pain factor. Submit yourself to mentorship. Mentorship provides you an opportunity to receive refined, distilled, aggregated, proven knowledge. Even if you want to be greater than the person, get to his level first, then you can surpass. Our world is full of many arrogant people. Let me tell you this. The greatest enemy of mentorship is history. I knew this person. We were classmates. I knew this person. He's my younger brother, my elder brother. I knew this person. He's my tribesman. When it has to do with mentorship, you must submit yourself and carry the posture of a student. There are many arrogant people going nowhere with all due respect. All the people who can help them, their respect for them has been damaged through the advantage of history. They can't learn from nobody. They believe that they will route their own way and become great. Then prove that I could become great by myself. And they waste their time and their energy over a journey that can be shortened by wisdom. Is someone learning? I don't have time to debate with pride. If I find an easier, more constructive way of getting the job done, even if it's a child, I will sit down and learn. Gone are the days where people carry their pride and their ego. They would rather add 10 years of pain than to submit to 1 week of mentorship. Did you know there are people who would rather die? I'm telling you. Sometimes God will minister to them and sometimes they might be browsing and a message just comes out. Okay, since you cannot even come to church, the message is there. Nobody will know you listen to it. Just listen to it quietly and grow. They know they don't have the knowledge. But the sense of embarrassment, listen, don't let history plant in you familiarity that stops you from receiving from people. That you were classmates does not mean you follow the same path. With all due respect, that you were siblings, that you were husband and wife. No. These dynamics change when it has to do with learning. Hallelujah. Accelerate your pace of growth by being meek and humble. Don't try to reinvent the wheel when there are many things. I'm telling you, I will learn about prayer by myself. There's too much distilled, intelligently presented expose on it. Why go through the pain because of pride? Hallelujah. You can accelerate your journey if you become humble. And with all due respect, co-laborers in the gospel, I've said this, gone are the days where people say, if it is not this person, it's not that person. No. You humble yourself and you receive. There are things we don't know. Learn. When you don't know it, the results show that you don't know it. There's no point. Save yourself prolonged embarrassment by learning early. Don't say you are a leader when it is not showing. No. Apostle, why do people listen to my messages but they don't want to come to my church? Because people hear preachers. They only follow leaders. They don't follow preachers. You are only a preacher. That's why they hear you without following you. Nobody follows a preacher. They follow leaders. So because you are only a preacher, they receive your content and then they go. You are not worth their loyalty, because followership is not about being a preacher. It's about being a leader, a transformational one at that. Submit to mentorship for growth. Mentorship does not have to be, you know, and let me tell you this. Don't be too quick to mentor people when you don't have results. That energy you are using to look for those to mentor, use it to grow. Are we together now? There are people who are itching to mentor people. You know, sometimes I say this with all due respect. It took me years, and many of the people, it took me years to be able to have the confidence to call someone son or call someone daughter. I'm telling you, till today I feel sometimes my people say, you don't call, you've never called me son or daughter. I say, well, at least you know that I love you. That's the most important thing. But there are all kinds, you see a young person that's not started somewhere, posting something online. You see a lady that's 1 year older than him. Nice work, daughter. Ah, be careful, oh. Be careful. Some of these things we do. You are calling somebody's wife. Ah, you are doing well, my baby girl, my this, to show that you are, no, that's not the way of champions. It's the way of fools. Did you hear what I said? Don't be in a hurry to look for people to mentor. The fact that you are searching for those to mentor means there is nothing in your life that is attracting those who need you. The Bible says Jesus, Mark 1:35, he got up early in the morning and went alone to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He went alone. He departed. Look what happens. Let me show you what happens when you grow. Verse 36. Please quickly, 36. And Simon and they that were with him did what? They followed after him. He went alone, but because he was a man of stature, they followed after him. 37. When they had found him, they said unto him, we are not the only ones following you, all men. So he went alone. Disciples followed him. All men followed him. By the time you find yourself saying, look, I think you'll be interested. You know, I'm a man of God. It's just I don't want to show it, but I'm a very serious prophet. Don't do that. If you're a man of stature, the weight you carry, the track record of integrity, character, competence, delivery, power, sustainability. You see that now? That's enough to pull someone who will look at you and say, I've studied your life. Your life is worth emulating. Who is learning now? Focus on growing. It's good to give back. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we are in a hurry. When children try to raise children, there will be a disaster. Among children, there's elder son, or elder brother, elder sister, but they are still children. Let them grow. Your impact becomes more thorough and efficient when you grow. It takes more than zeal. You are still battling with your spiritual life, and you want to teach others a series on prayer. Are you seeing that? Let me tell you, with all due respect, minimize talking a lot in areas that you don't have personal results. Be patient and have the results. Then you can speak with honor. There are people who know nothing about finances, but they have the audacity to say they want to mentor people about finance. To teach what? Are we together? With all due respect, and I don't say this in a derogatory way, and I know that there are times you can have experience by the Holy Ghost. I know that. But your credibility is enhanced by your results. Are we together? Yes. A man that does not have a husband, a woman that does not have a husband, a man that does not have a wife. Yeah, you can tell people, it doesn't mean you cannot learn about marriage. But just minimize what you say. Wait until you have that track record. Are we together? A young person, you are advising everybody, say it doesn't matter. Even if you are 30 years old, come and listen to me. I want to teach you the key to winning a marriage. Are we together? I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. You just started ministry. Your members have not even come. You are organizing a minister's conference. To teach what? When you are still trying to stand, the first attack has not arrived. Submit to mentorship for growth. Never outgrow the need to be guided. Never outgrow it. Never outgrow it. Number 6. Are you ready? Capacity grows with use. Therefore, deploy your time, your energy, and your skill within the space allowed to serve, and then you grow as you serve. Let me take that again. Capacity grows with use. So when you do all of these things, know that capacity grows with use. Therefore, deploy your time, your energy, and your skill within the allowance that is given you. Whether it's a department, whether it's a ministry, within the allowance that you have for that time and that season. Deploy your time, your energy, and your skill in service. And then you will find out that you will grow as you serve. It is true that capacity grows with service. You are going to become a pastor one day. It is true. You will have a global ministry one day. It is true. But right now, learn compassion by ushering people in the church. I know you are a mighty prayer warrior. Don't feel embarrassed that on Wednesday or Thursday, they see your face leading a Bible study online. And when they come for Koinonia, they find you serving. And they say, are you not that mighty man of God? And then you feel embarrassed. You should even be happy because there are witnesses that you are serving. Are we together? I tell you sincerely, and I say that with all due respect. Let's say one of the fathers of faith, let's say Daddy Gio or someone comes here right now. And they are supposed to speak. I will switch from being a man of God and get back to being where God found me. Are we together? If it means me to go and sit down and play the keyboard for him, I will go and sit down and play the keyboard. If it means holding the mic for him, he will not come and stand here and then I'll stand as a man of God. No, I'm not stupid. Is somebody learning now? Don't let growth stop you from serving. Listen to my message that I preach in Kenya. Nehemiah was not a rebuilder first. He was a cupbearer. He was doing the work of cupbearing that qualified him to be a builder. Don't forget where God took you from. Don't get too big and too embarrassed. I know where God took me from. If the need arises to go back to what I was doing, I will do it. Hallelujah. Some of these pockets of pride, we must tame it by mercy and by grace. Oh, you've started accepting invitation. They say, lift up your hand to receive. You are embarrassed. You are looking. All my members are here. They are looking at, how do I lift up my hand? Now you just leave. That's not how to lift your hand, sir. Lift up your hand and receive a blessing for your fragile destiny. It's important to teach this in church, oh. Let me tell you. It's important. The church is a place of wisdom. Capacity grows with use. I'll serve you, Lord, forever. I'll serve you, Lord, forever. I'll do my best for you. I'll do my best, my very best. I'll do my best for you with everything you have given me. I'll serve you, Lord, forever. I'll serve you, Lord, forever. I'll do my best for you. I'll do my best, my very best. I'll do my best for you. Let me tell you, when you find people who are mighty in the spirit and yet humble to serve, respect them. Because those people are inevitably the quickest way I know to rise to leadership and dominion in the spirit is service. I have profound regard for people who are mighty and yet serve. Mighty and yet serve. Men of God and yet serve. Pastors and yet serve. Great leaders and yet serve. Fathers in their own regard and yet serve. That's the spirit of a champion. Let me give you the areas to build capacity for an impactful life. You must know the areas to build capacity. Has God spoken to someone tonight? I'm going to run through this list. And please, ladies and gentlemen, those here and those following online, this list was curated with love from me to you. Honestly, with love from me to you. I want you to listen carefully. If you pay attention to these areas and obtain grace to walk in these areas, there's no power in existence that sustains the ability to stop you from emerging as a champion of global magnitude for the kingdom. You believe that? Say amen. Very quickly, Areas to build capacity for an impactful life. Number one, your spiritual life. That's the first area. You must have a functional knowledge of God. You must understand doctrine. You must understand the dynamics of prayer, for instance. You must understand how faith works. You must understand how to derive profit from the word. You must understand how to walk in authority and power. You must understand spiritual growth principles. These are all the bodies of knowledge that make for a healthy spiritual life. So the first area that you need to build capacity for is, for an impactful life, is your spiritual life. Let me tell you in advance, as it is with your spiritual life, so it will be with your destiny. The clearest litmus test as to how your destiny will be is how your spiritual life is. Your spiritual life. Pressing for capacity will entail knowing, having a functional knowledge of God, learning doctrine, learning the dynamics of prayer, for an example, learning how faith works, learning how to derive profit from the word, learning how to walk in authority and power, learning other spiritual growth principles, learning how to die to the flesh, learning how to exalt the Lord more than any other thing. Number two, okay, I wrote here, the greatest indicators of spiritual growth are the greatest indicators. How do I know I'm growing spiritually? Let me run the list for you very quickly. We're still on point one. Just adding flesh to it. Number one, your passion for God that is born out of a place of deep fellowship and a functional knowledge. The first litmus test to know whether or not you are growing spiritually. Test for your passion for God, which is born from a place of deep fellowship and a functional knowledge of Him. Number two, Christ-like character. Christ-like character is the second indication or indicator of a robust, vibrant spiritual life and spiritual growth. Number three, high-level spiritual illumination and broadness of understanding. This is the third index that measures spiritual growth. So next time you say, Apostle, how do I know I'm growing spiritually? I'm giving you the indices now. Number one again is passion for God that is born out of a place of deep fellowship and functional knowledge of Him. Number two, Christ-like character. Number three, high-level spiritual illumination and broadness of understanding. Number four, the fourth index that measures spiritual growth is the outworkings of the power and the wisdom of God, producing victory and dominion. The outworkings of the power and the wisdom of God, producing victory and dominion. And then the fifth, not necessarily the last, but the fifth index that is fair enough to measure your spiritual growth, I call it investedness in purpose and impactful living. And then you can even add love afterwards. Investedness, your level of investedness in purpose and living an impactful life. And then of course, the bond of perfectness. The ultimate test of spiritual growth is your love life. Love towards God and love towards men. Let's hurry up for sake of time. So that's the first key. Your spiritual life. The first area where you need to build capacity. I know that some of you did not get the chance to write. Please get the teachings. Number two, mental strength and transformation. This is the second area where you need to build capacity for global kingdom impact. Capacity that empowers and positions you to serve the program of God at the highest level that your destiny can afford. Mental strength and transformation. This comes through study. This comes through mentorship. This comes through healthy exposure. This comes by praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. When you study, when you submit to mentorship, when you, you know, open yourself to healthy exposure and you pray in the spirit, it can speak to your mental strength and transformation. There are at least three indicators that show that you are being transformed mentally. Number one, your perceptions. Number two, your interpretation of things. Number three, your definitions, the meaning that you give things. And then number four, the accuracy of your beliefs. These are four indices that test and measure transformation. Let me list them again. Number one, your perceptions. If your perceptions do not become superior, you are not transformed. Number two, your interpretation of things, the way you interpret things. Number three, your definitions.
It's impossible to be transformed without it altering your definitions and the meanings that you give things. And then number four, the accuracy of your beliefs. So mental strength and transformation, the second area. The third area, very quickly, where you need to contend for transformation is emotional intelligence. Let me speak for a few minutes here. Emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence measures how you perceive, how you process, and how you respond to people and happenings around you. Emotional intelligence is a measure of how you perceive, how you process, and how you respond to people and happenings around you, whether good or bad. I also define it as the maturity to manage the spotlight without being distracted by it. So emotional maturity or emotional intelligence also extends to have the maturity to manage the spotlight or to manage influence without being distracted by it. It is also measured by the strength. Listen to this. Emotional intelligence is also measured by the strength to be disliked and criticized without breaking down or allowing it to affect your self-worth. The strength to be criticized, to be disliked without breaking down or allowing it affect your self-worth. There are some of you, the day someone tells you you are stupid, you will cry for 1 year. And then later on the person said, I'm sorry, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then you've allowed it to tear you down. You must have the maturity, the strength to be disliked and criticized. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but on your way to grace and glory, not everybody will understand you. And sometimes you will receive the harshest of dislike and criticisms. Sometimes fairly so. Either because of pride, ignorance, stubbornness, or whatever it is, they are just chiseling you constructively. But other times it can just be sarcasm, envy, and all of that. Emotional intelligence also involves the courage to accept responsibility without shifting blames. You know people who are emotionally intelligent because they are not afraid, they are not ashamed to accept responsibility. If you are wrong, just say, I'm sorry. Don't say, is it only me? I'm sorry. Leave others. You that has been caught, you are wrong. Hallelujah. Who is learning? Emotional intelligence also extends to overcoming the pressure of using things to define your worth. The pressure of using things to define your worth. I'm showing you the implication of having emotional intelligence. It also involves resisting the pressure. Watch this. Resisting the pressure to demean others as a way of protecting your sense of value and relevance. Resist the pressure. When we say you are an emotionally mature or intelligent person, it means you have sustained the grace and the capacity to resist the pressure to demean others as a way of protecting your sense of value and relevance. If you have to cut the head of everybody to show you are tall, something is wrong with you. Are we together? There are people who, even if you clap for them, provided you are clapping for another person, they get angry. You can't walk that way. Resist the pressure of demeaning others, whether a preacher, whether a businessman, as a way of trying to protect your sense of value and relevance. Let me tell you something I've learned by experience. Members are not stupid. They know when a man of God is insecure. No matter how you wrap your insecurity with spirituality, they know that this statement is not the Holy Ghost. It's fear and insecurity trying to be bold. You see that? Emotional intelligence also covers anger management. This one is very serious. Anger management. Don't allow yourself to gaslight anyone and say we are like that in our family. No. Anger management. Many of you have lost precious people and precious opportunities because you do not know how to manage anger. Now, let me say this. The Holy Ghost quickened this and you have to hear this. I wrote here that a major part of emotional intelligence is the fortitude to overcome what we call paranoia and hypersensitivity to words and actions. Paranoia is spelled P-A-R-A-N-O-I-A. And I'll define for you very quickly what it is. Paranoia and hypersensitivity to words and actions. I define paranoia quickly. An intense, listen, an irrational distrust or suspicion of people based on the unfounded belief that they intend to deceive you or harm you. Unfounded suspicion that people are talking about you or plotting against you. I know that there are medical conditions like schizophrenia, you know, personality disorder, I understand that. But I'm talking about there are people who are paranoid by default. Once you look at them, they say, what is wrong? Is it my dressing? It's not cheap. It's like, who is talking about your dressing? The man is counting how much left to complete his rent. Just because his eyes is on you. There are people like that. They believe everybody is fighting them. They believe everybody wants to hurt them. It's both a spiritual and a medical condition. And it can be solved by the power of God. Say amen. You cannot live a triumphant life in destiny when you have that you over-suspect everybody. Somebody buys you a gift, you say, this is an attack. I sense that this is the queen of the coast. What should she do? She has honored you. She bought you banana. You say it's from the marine kingdom. She didn't greet you. You say she's a marine agent. What do you want the poor girl to do? Every fair lady is a queen of the coast in your world. Every handsome guy is a prince of darkness. What sort of thing is that? Everybody who prophesies is fake in your world. Everybody who looks rich is a fraudster, paranoia. And there are preachers who have it. They don't know it's a problem. Say amen. Amen. The fourth area, very quickly. Your physical health and your bodily vitality. Oh, please listen to this. The fourth area where you need to build capacity in terms of strength, because the journey is far. I wrote something here very quickly. If you mismanage your body, you will lose it. If you mismanage your body, you will lose it. You will lose it in death, or you will lose it by some sort of degeneration. It is your responsibility to manage your body. You only have one body to use. When I was writing this, I asked God for forgiveness. Healthy eating. Exercise. Write visual and audio contents. And then speaking the word. These are some of the keys that can help you maintain health and bodily vitality. You have only one body. It's your responsibility to maintain it. Number five, very quickly. The fifth area, please be patient. Make sure you receive this. The fifth area where you need to build capacity. If you are learning, shout a loud amen. Amen. Leadership. Very quickly, I give you four levels of leadership that makes for your personal growth. Number one is called self/image management. Number two is called people management. Number three is called vision or project management. Number four is called resource management. These are the four areas of leadership, at least at an elementary level. Everybody is a leader in their own regards. And there are four elements of leadership you must learn, or four areas. Number one, self or image management. You must know how to manage yourself. Don't misbehave everywhere. You are debranding yourself. Are we together? Have you seen an honorable person fighting for rice during a wedding? It's not your wedding. It's not your relative. You came late. You sat at the wrong place and you are fighting for rice. And you came out from a jeep. No image management. Are you getting that now? And it's not poverty. It's a mindset. A small girl is dragging you and saying, no, this is my own. They kept it on my table. The wine they kept for five people, you carry it alone and put it in your bag. And everybody's watching you. Everybody say image management. You are a brand yourself. It's not by creating a logo with your name. It's by correct behavior. When you behave well, it's called image management. Self-management. Number two, people management. You must know how to manage people. Number three, vision or project management. You can have people, but you must know how to create a picture that is clear enough of the next level, the tomorrow you are taking them to. And then finally, resource management. You can't serve the program of God at certain levels until you know how to manage time, intellectual resources, finances, and manage platforms. Don't go to someone's platform and be cracking an expensive joke with his wife, with the husband, and you just laugh. It's not your church. It's not whatever it is. You call an elder in the church, you say, come and stand here. And that's the oldest man in the church. You are using him for an example. That's platform abuse. There are certain truths allow only when you are on your platform to communicate it. No matter how convinced you are, don't use another person's platform to say certain things. When you speak and say certain things on your own platform, you can defend it. Are we together? Don't go to minister in someone's church and tear down everything they have built. You can communicate truth within the scope of what they understand. If not, don't receive the invitation. Don't go for a meeting and say, I'm going to say my own truth and scatter everything, the work that has been done for years. Zeal without knowledge. Who is learning? Praise God. Platform abuse. You go to someone's house and they say, feel free. The next thing they find you in the kitchen. You have finished eating and you are putting takeaway. Your first visit. Platform abuse. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. After that point, you need this prayer. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Leadership. Everybody shout leadership. Leadership. Remember, I told you, let me use preachers for an example. People will listen to you because you preach well, but they only follow you because you lead well. They don't follow you because you preach well. They follow you because you lead well. If you are a preacher alone, you will have your words impacting people, but you will not have people who will stay with you. Hallelujah. Leadership development. I said it to our dear family in Kenya. There must be programs that attend to leadership development at all levels. And I thank God for the kinds of quality schools. Listen, I say this with all due respect. Now, not that I'm demeaning those who don't have the means, but at least I'm talking to you. Trust God for grace so that you can have the resources to send your children to good schools. And don't say it does not matter. Don't say there are others who are going to... Invite those others for koinonia. But for you, now that you are here, please receive grace. Take your children to good schools. Are we together? There are schools right now when you hear a child of 4 years, and another child of 4 years from someone else, they can't talk to themselves. He greets the other one, he doesn't know how to answer, and they are age mates. What kind of world do you think those children will be in? Are you seeing that now? Leadership development. Number six, financial intelligence. The sixth area where you need to build capacity. How to attract financial resources, how to manage and effectively use money. It's a learned skill. How to grow and increase wealth, and then how to preserve and perpetuate wealth. At least at the elementary level, these are the four things you need to learn about finances. How to attract financial resources with dignity and honor. Number two, the management and the effective use of money. Number three, how to grow and increase wealth. It's not guesswork. There is a science to it. Number four, how to preserve and then to perpetuate or transfer wealth. Financial intelligence. How do you want to serve the program of God at a global level and you don't have a certain level of financial intelligence? You see that? There's a requisite level of financial intelligence. And honestly, at certain levels, it's not even basic or elementary. You will need quite a robust capture of financial intelligence so that you are able to deal with people from different cultures, different economies, different practices, and so on and so forth. Number seven, the seventh area where you need to build capacity, effective communication. Please write this down, everybody. You will thank me for this. You will thank me for what you are hearing today. Tonight's sermon is a stretch, but it's profitable for your destiny. Some of you need it now. Some of you archive it. You will need it in the nearest future. Effective communication. Let me define for you what effective communication is. The process of exchanging thoughts, ideas, and information so that the receiver understands the message clearly as intended. One more time and one last time. The process, effective communication, defined as the process of exchanging thoughts, ideas, and information so that the receiver understands the message clearly as intended. Let me tell you this. Almost everything in your life will demand communication. Learning how to communicate is a superior edge as far as dominion is concerned. I'm not just talking of linguistic prowess. That is profitable. But it's important for you to understand how to be coherent and be clear in driving your thoughts. You don't necessarily have to be lavish in terms of a rich capture of vocabulary, but you must be articulate enough. As a man of God, if you are not coherent and articulate, people will be shouting, "Preach, preacher," but they don't get anything. And yet you are consecrated, your words are powerful. You see, the mind works like a machine. You must know how to drive thoughts and drive ideas intelligently. When you want to edify people through the ministry of the word, you need utterance and oratory. Utterance and oratory. The first is more superior, utterance. But oratory is a great edge. And I pray for you because it's a learned ability. Improve on your communication. I'm not just talking English, whether verbal, whether non-verbal. And don't say it does not matter. It's mediocres that will tell you it does not matter. You can sell yourself and persuade yourself into the hearts of men if you know how to speak without deception. Words are powerful. They can define perception. The things you say define how people perceive you. Effective communication. Who is learning? There are times where people listen to a preacher not only because he's anointed, but because he's detailed, educative, transformative, clear, very cognitive and coherent in the way he drives his thoughts. Don't ramble around for 1 hour trying to say just one thing. There has to be an easier way of passing it across. Don't frustrate the minds of people swinging it from left to right like a pendulum just to drive a very simple thought. God so loved the world. Just stay there. You see that now? Don't just say God transited and the way he landed and the way he, and you know, the cloud came and that was just for the sake of your destiny. In fact, the way he did it, as he landed, he circumvented and people say, "What have you now said?" God so loved the world. That's the summary. Create an NIV version of your communication. Hallelujah. When we read the Bible, we read King James. But you have to create an NIV version. Don't frustrate children as they listen to you. Don't frustrate the elderly. Don't frustrate the uneducated. And mama is tapping and say, "What is he saying? I came to church now. Is it a sin to not be educated?" Be as advanced, but you must know how to break down. And you see, you have to discern your audience. There's an audience that has followed on with you. They understand your thought line. And you can have the liberty to stretch them. When I'm speaking in Koinonia, I have a way that I speak. Because it's not my first time communicating those ideas. There's a build-up. There's a history. You understand what I intend to say, even when my words fail me. But when you go somewhere, the assumption is that the people have not heard those words for the first time. You see that now? Thank me when you become a champion. Thank me when you give your recitation speech as you collect the awards. And people look at you and say, "You are such a well-rounded Christian." And you tell them, "This is Koinonia." Hallelujah. We're done. Almost done. 8, I won't talk about it. Goal setting and time management. The 8th area where you need to build capacity. I think almost everybody on earth has spoken about this. 9. Goal setting and time management is 8. Learn everything you can learn about it. Now number 9. The skill of mentoring. You have to build capacity, maybe not immediately, but eventually. One way to be a blessing is to learn the skill of mentoring. That you have the idea does not mean you can pass it. Mentoring is a skill. Using the leverage of your skill, your experience, your platform, your status to educate, to guide, to advise, to connect, and to support the less experienced so as to enhance their personal and professional growth. Verse 10, number 10. This is where we end for now. But this is one of the most important thoughts. I want to show you a very deep mystery. I hope before the year ends, we'll do a complete teaching on this. But for now, receive it as the 10th key. The skill of asking and receiving. Please listen. Let me show you something in the next 2-3 minutes and then we're done. If you do not learn the skill of asking and receiving, you will be a failure in life. I'll explain to you very quickly. You must know how to find answers and solutions. It's a skill of asking and receiving. Many believers have not been trained to know that asking and receiving is not just a desire, it's a skill. Watch this. You must know how to ask God for things, prayer. You must know how to ask men for things, education and mentorship. You must know how to ask nature for things, observation and research. You must know how to ask yourself for things, contemplation. These are the various ways to ask. The skill of asking is both a spiritual intelligence, but there is a science. The word asking does not mean to make request. It means to investigate, to inquire until solutions are birthed. Again, you must know how to ask God, prayer. You may want to add fellowship. You must know how to ask men, education, mentorship. You must know how to ask nature, observation and research. You must know how to ask yourself, contemplation. Deep contemplation is you asking yourself questions. She said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, say not in your heart. A man can talk to himself. And then if you do not know how to receive, you will never be fruitful. Let me tell you how to receive. I've told you how to ask. How to ask from God, prayer. How to ask from men, education and mentorship. How to ask from nature, observation and research. These are just my philosophical contemplations. Not that I got them from any resource. How to ask yourself, contemplation. Now, how to receive? How do you receive from God? Faith. You cannot understand receiving from God till you learn faith. How do you receive from men? Honor and gratitude. How do you receive, how do you draw things out from your spirit? Meditation. The skill of asking and receiving is a profound advantage as far as capacity is concerned. That means if I do not have answers now, knowing how to get the answer is a skill. You can get it from God, you can get it from men, you can get it from nature, and you can draw it within you. How do you get it from God? Prayer. How do you get it from men? Education, mentorship. How do you get it from nature? Observation and research. You see that now? How do you get it from yourself? Deep contemplation. How about receiving? How do you receive from God? Faith. How do you receive from men? Honor and gratitude. How do you receive from your spirit? Meditation. Capacity and stature. So next time you see God using men in ministry, in business, you see people shining with great light, don't say they are lucky and don't just say it's the grace of God. This is a very compressed lecture, let me call it, a compressed lecture on building capacity and stature from a spiritual standpoint. I feel so sad because I didn't do this the kind of justice that I would have intended to have happened to you in terms of learning. Let me tell you, there is no champion who is a champion by luck. This right here you see is likened to the thesis of an exceptional student. So when you say, why is this student excelling? This is the defense as to the reason why the nations desire them. The reason why God can trust them with his program at a macro level. My prayer for you is that after today, you would have gained stature in the spirit, that as you go back and contemplate on these teachings, maybe you may not be affected by every part of the conversation, but it's up to you to stay and intermeddle with wisdom and search the areas that apply to your life and connect to your next level. I have taught you that the price for dominion is transformation, not desire. Knowing that God intends for you to reign in life is not enough to reign in life. You must contend for knowledge. And it's my prayer for you, beloved brothers and sisters, Koinonia Global, Body of Christ, that from today, in the name of Jesus, you will be dissatisfied with mediocrity. That from today, you begin to engage these forces like you have learned across these 10 areas at least. This may not be all you need, but this is sufficient to turn a weakling into a mighty man in the spirit. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like menorah. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Please lift your voice and begin to give God thanks for tonight. For everything you have heard and learned. This is an investment in your destiny and that of your children, for your organization, for your church, for the next level of God's prophetic assignment over your life. Would you lift your voice and pray? Jesus, increase. You are increasing. John the prophet, the Baptist, increase. You are increasing. The Bible says the wise man will hear and increase in learning. Thank him. Thank him. Blessed are your ears for the things you have heard. Blessed are your eyes for the things that you have seen. Blessed is your heart for the things that you have received. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We are empowered by the truths that we have heard and received. In the name of Jesus. Now decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will not only be a hearer, the grace to be a disciplined, diligent and intentional doer. Receive it from God. Lift your voice and pray. The grace to be a diligent, disciplined, intentional doer of the word. The grace to be a doer of the word. As it concerns your spiritual life, as it concerns your prayer life, your word study life, as it concerns your mind, as it concerns your health, as it concerns leadership, every aspect of your life. God is intentional about your making. He's intentional about your being refined. Line upon line, layer upon layer, you are changing. You are changing. Lift your voice and pray. He won't stop. He won't stop till you look just like him. He won't stop. He won't stop till your life looks like him. God is raising mighty men in this place. Oh yeah. God is raising people of power in this place. God is raising people of wisdom in this place. God is raising people of stature in this place. And he won't stop, no he won't stop, till you look just like him. He won't stop, till your life looks like him. You may cry, but he won't stop, till you look just like him. You may be weary, but he won't stop, till your life looks like him. Please don't stop, till our lives look like you. Please don't stop, till our lives look like you. We may cry, but please don't stop, till we look just like you. We may be weary, but please don't stop till our lives look like you. God is raising people of wisdom in this house. God is raising people of stature in this house. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. We want to look just like you. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. We want to think just like you. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. We want to know just like you. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. We want to reign just like you.
Father, this is our prayer tonight. As a family of faith, this is our prayer as the body of Christ, the body of believers who love you sincerely, who love our destinies and love your program. You have shown us from your word that you desire the best for us. You've shown us that you desire victory and dominion, grace and power, honor and glory. This has been and remains your desire for us. Thank you for showing us a major way and a major key. Lord, we submit to your word. We pray in the name of Jesus that we will not be victims of this word. As we submit to listen again and learn again and put to work that which we have heard in the name of Jesus, like soils that are good, let it produce in us a harvest of 30-fold, of 60-fold, and for all of us here, I desire for you 100-fold in the name of Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Take the time when you go back. Koinonia is not just an assembling of God's people. It's a school. You are being trained. You are being refined. So go back. Listen to this as many times. This is not one of the teachings where you listen once or even twice. Listen again. You will be surprised how many things God said that did you not hear. Some you heard, but you did not understand. Some you understood, but you did not receive. So listen again and give this message as a gift to someone. You are celebrating someone's birthday this week. As you send a transfer and you communicate the alert, join it with this teaching and tell him, please. In addition to the alert, this is 20 years of your life redeemed in one sermon. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's stand. It starts with Jesus, then it ends with Jesus. We're all about Jesus, his life, before his wisdom and his power. It always starts with his life. You cannot truly enjoy his wisdom and his power except you're a recipient and a beneficiary of his life. For as long as I live and I have the opportunity to speak to people, and the opportunity provides, I will always lead people to Jesus. Because he's assured us in his word that every time we are gathered, he adds daily to us as many as should be saved. One day, this life will be over and it will no longer be the issue of business or job or marriage or children or growth. It will not even be an issue of victory or dominion. It will be an issue of the reality of life after now. So beloved brothers and sisters, in all your hearing, if you are yet to make Jesus Lord of your life, I bring you a very simple proposal tonight. He died for you. He is called Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And the Bible tells us that as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. I'm speaking to an honest brother, an honest sister, who through all of the things that you heard me discuss tonight, the Holy Ghost kept quickening it to you, that this is only an advantage to those in the kingdom, not outside of the kingdom. The power and the wisdom is for the just, those who are in the kingdom. So I want to make this altar call. And even if we have just one or two people tonight who are honestly saying, Apostle, I hear you and I hear you well. I heard God through you. I want to make it right with Jesus. I do not want to return back home the same way I came. I'll be inviting you, or those who are saying, Apostle, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Two calls in one. Up the balcony, here and across the overflows, outside, and to those who are connected online. As I begin to count 1 to 5, please leave your seat very boldly and come and stand. I see a dear lady coming. God bless you, my dear sister. I begin my counting now. 1. Who else is joining her? God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. You were once in their position. So celebrate them. Come. Come. Don't be ashamed. That's why he brought you here tonight. He did not just bring you to listen to an intelligent lecture. He brought you to build your destiny. Come. What shall it profit a man, the Bible says, if he gains the whole world and then loses his soul? If you use these fruits and excel in business, in life and destiny at the expense of your eternal destiny, it would have been a bad bargain. He comes to give you new life, not just an information, brand new life, to transit you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. I'm still counting. 3. Let's keep clapping. Let's keep clapping. Let's keep clapping. 4. Final count. 5. Can we give them a big God bless you? We understand the value of salvation in this house, and we celebrate all who take the step, the bold step, to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Thank you. If you are still coming, please make haste. And that includes my dear brother and my dear sister watching by television or watching across our viewing centers, Zaria and every other center across US, Canada, UK, across the African continent, across the states here in Nigeria. This is what we're all about. It starts with salvation before it extends to any other value that the kingdom brings. And I want to thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for this bold decision. Can I request that you lift your right hand just unto Jesus sincerely? Say this after me as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word to me tonight. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these precious people, your sons and your daughters. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. And I stand in agreement with them as I declare their sins forgiven by the authority of your word. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that from tonight, they are bona fide recipients of your life, empowered to live the victorious Christian life. They go from glory to glory. They go from grace to grace, knowing you, loving you, and serving you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen and amen. Please do me a favor. Would you look to my right? That will be your left. There are counselors waving the placard. They are trained. They love you. They want to have a word and a prayer with you very quickly. Thereafter, you return. For those of you, if they left any bags, Bibles, by the way, let me say this. For all other, from next week, please, when we do the altar call, do encourage those who are sitting, in case I forget to say it, that in rising to come, they should pick their bags, their Bibles, and everything they came to church with, so that we don't have people lose their property as they come to surrender to Jesus. Have you been blessed tonight? Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Let me speak over your life, and then we're done for tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. You're on your way to better days. That's me speaking over you. You're on your way to better days. Regardless what the devil does, you're on your way to better days. You're on your way to better days. Spiritually, financially, you're on your way to better days. Let this week come with pleasant surprises for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, from the depth of my heart, I bless you. Let it be well with you this week. I bless you.
Everything that makes for joy, let it come to you this week. Everything that makes for peace, let it come to you this week. Everything that makes for lifting, let it come to you this week. Laughter is your portion this week. Restoration is your portion this week. New levels, your portion this week. In the name of Jesus, your world will celebrate you in a marvelous way this week. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, your prayer life jacks back to life. Your word study life will be on fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release my faith with you. Everything you are trusting God for, in the name that is above all names, because you left it behind to listen to his word, I pray for you. May your testimony and your answer arrive speedily. May your desires arrive speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call your helpers to come in a hurry. I call your lifters to come in a hurry. I impart fresh wisdom upon you. Wisdom for the ember months. Wisdom for the remaining quarter of the year in the name of Jesus. Now hear me, what you could not achieve from January till August, I decree and declare, in 1 month you will achieve it. Before the year ends, you will achieve it. I say to a receiver, in 1 month you will achieve it. He said, by you I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leapt over a wall. I pray for you, you will surprise yourself for good. You will surprise all who know you for good. They will see the hand of God upon your life. Your ministry is blessed. Your business is blessed. Your family is blessed. The work of your hands blessed. Your career blessed. Your going out blessed. Your coming in blessed. In the name of Jesus, troublemakers will never get to you. Evildoers will never get to you. Plotters of evil things will never get to you. Only favor will get to you. Only grace and wisdom will get to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call you a child of God, and every blessing that befits a child, a son, and an ambassador, let it rain down on you like dew from heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, the earth will not swallow you this week. It will not swallow your loved ones this week. In the name of Jesus, you will not be a victim of accidents. You will not be a victim of tragedy. It will always be too late for tragedy over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless your hands. Experience the anointing. Listen, I release you as an ambassador. Go and heal the sick. Go and speak comfort. Go and sell the wisdom of God. And bless nations, and reveal Jesus, and glorify Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will only go higher and higher, greater and greater, upward and forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Shout amen 3 times. God bless you. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you on Sunday.